Give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5, The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5, The Fanatic, 7:01 on a Thursday night, a football Thursday in the NFL as the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have the pleasure, I guess, because we don't know how boring the game is going to be between the two teams of kicking off week number three, but that's their thing. That's their problem. We know you'll be kind of paying attention to it while you're listening to us and paying attention to the Phillies. You got to go dual screen, folks, and make sure that you're listening to us while you're riding around, getting the kids ready, all that stuff for school, getting dinner wrapped up for the evening as you all relax. We're with you until 10 o'clock tonight. Again, Devon Givens. Tom Alvord is here, 9:45. He'll have the leftovers. We'll get his thoughts throughout the show on a variety of things from the Eagles, which we will start with that. Tell you where we go as we kind of transition more to the Washington football game this weekend against the Eagles, hosting the Birds, week number three. Undefeated, of course, 2-0, the 1-1 Washington Commanders. Where Tyler Zuli yells at me because I continue to call them the Washington football team because I think that's a better nickname. We'll get into the Phillies throughout the night and update you on what's going on with the Phillies hosting the Atlanta Braves, saving themselves last night, extra innings coming through, right? Getting the win last night. So we'll update you out throughout the evening and let you know what's going on with the game. And also, yes, I will give my thoughts on Ben Simmons, on my friend, J.J. Redick, his podcast. And I will say this at the very top. It's sad because I didn't get a chance to talk to Anthony as we always do the crossover. He had to get out of there. I'm disappointed in my guy, J.J. Redick. I'll just say that, and we'll get to it in the 8 o'clock hour as far as Ben Simmons goes with the J.J. Redick podcast. But we got you covered throughout the evening here tonight. And let me start with the matchup with Washington and Philadelphia this weekend in Washington as the Birds look to improve to 3-0. And I think they have a very good chance of doing so. I think they're a better football team. Looking at the odds, again, the Birds were ranked yesterday on NFL.com as the third best team in the NFL behind the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. It's pretty good after 2 weeks where your defense in week one gave up too many points while you put up a good number, 38. Week number two, you put up your 24, only gave up 7. So the defense did their part to make sure that they got that win on Sunday, but the best NFC team after 2 weeks, the Philadelphia Eagles, that's pretty good. And that tells you that they are, again, better than the Washington football team. But we'll see how it all plays out. But the storyline, as we know, has a lot to do with Carson Wentz. Him playing against the Eagles for the first time since he was traded last offseason, not this past offseason, last offseason, the 21 offseason, to the Indianapolis Colts, flamed out. Now he's in Washington, and he's actually played okay football for them with the 1-1 record. He has 7 touchdown passes on the season so far. Not bad for Carson Wentz. I was a big Carson Wentz supporter. You heard Anthony for the hour there during Cousins Corner. He was a big Carson Wentz guy. Tom Alvord, a big Carson Wentz guy when he was here. So the way things played out, disappointing with how it all played out with Carson Wentz. He was not the perfect quarterback. He had his flaws. He had a phenomenal season in 2017 where before the injury, he was most likely the MVP. I think most of us would agree with it, or at least he was going to be the runner-up to Tom Brady. We expected even after the injury for him to bounce back and get back into that groove. We know how it all went. Where we fast forward to tonight, for me, where I want to tap into the conversation with you all tonight, is the dynamic of how things played out with Carson Wentz and now Jalen Hurts. Didn't expect it even when they drafted Hurts. Did not want it to happen. Thought it was a bad draft selection at the time at pick number 53 in the second round with so much talent there remaining on the board. Whether it was Epinesa as a defensive end who plays for Buffalo now, the two running backs with J.K. Dobbins and Cam Akers, the number of wide receivers that were still on the board at the time, and the big one for Tyler Zuli, who is not here with us tonight, Jeremy Chinn at the safety position. They could have went a variety of different ways. They went quarterback. We all criticized it. Most of us, the majority of us, criticized it that evening. I am not ready to say Howie Roseman got it right with that. Certainly, he's the starting quarterback, so there was something right with the pick where he's the starting quarterback. Or it was just a matter of fact that he's the second-round pick who remains on the roster. Carson Wentz is shipped out. You have to start him. But based on reports, if you hear things, they did try to go out there and get some veteran quarterbacks on the open market or via trade. So it kind of goes back to now where are the Philadelphia Eagles better off with how things played out today? And I ask you that because while Carson Wentz's career has been so up and down now these last three seasons, Jalen Hurts has yet to establish himself as a franchise quarterback. Very good start, as we know, best player on the team through two games. But he has not yet established himself as the guy going forward. So looking at it and looking, knowing what the timeline has been like, seeing where they both are right now, looking at everything with Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts right now, the team itself, where they're so put together by Howie Roseman, but one of the main questions outside of the head coach and the defensive coordinator is your quarterback position. But as we sit here today, feeling good of where they are right now after week two, preseason, many people having them in the mid-teens of win total for this campaign, that's how good you thought the Eagles would be. And in order for them to get to that number, Jalen Hurts, you have to have some kind of confidence in him as the quarterback for your team going forward. But did they get it right? Are they better off this way than they were if they decided to keep Carson Wentz? Now, it's impossible really to figure out how things would have gone last season with Carson Wentz here. The fact that he was, if you read some of the stories, Joe Santoliquito had the story way back, and I was one that was like, Joe, this is wrong. Even though I know you're a good reporter and all that, there's no way that all this is true with how he is disliked in the locker room. His personality rubs people the wrong way. He doesn't listen to the coaching and all that. Well, it turned out it's right. And then I was looking at this one from Bleeding Green Nation. I was reading the story there, and there was this excerpt from the story. And I'll just read this, and I'll read a couple of quotes from a person that was close to the situation. I'll read it word for word. Here we go. But part of the frostiness was innately Wentz. He would huddle up with his pals, Nate Sudfeld and quarterback coach Press Taylor, in the quarterback's room and ignore the others. Now here's the quote. Quote, it was like you were back in high school with the cool kids table and the nerds table, end quote, someone very close to the situation put it a few years ago. Quote, Carson was the captain of the cool kids table. He'd treat Jalen, really one of the best guys you would ever want to meet, like he wasn't there. Jalen did his work. He kept his head down and paid attention. The other guy wasn't about to lift a finger to help him. What made all of us laugh was he just got a boatload of cash. Why was he so insecure about Jalen? The other part of the problem was everyone liked Jalen, not so much the other guy. End quote. Again, from Joe Santoliquito, Bleeding Green Nation, putting this story together. At the time when Joe wrote the story, before Jalen Hurts got to the Eagles, I did not want to believe what Joe had reported. Because I liked him. You didn't hear much of that. He seemed to really be a guy that they got along with on the field. Not in the locker room. Don't know how it goes. I didn't hear much of that in the reporting that we heard elsewhere. So I wasn't ready to give that up when I was already a guy that looked at Carson Wentz and said, oh, this guy's going to be good. And he's going to be really good. And this is going to go a long way. They found their franchise quarterback. Howie Roseman got it right with that number two overall selection. I wasn't ready to give it up. And that's on me. But what he did thereafter, whether it was the pouting the way that he did with Jalen Hurts. And look, I understand that part where why are you drafting a guy, as I said, at 53 where you have a franchise quarterback, you just paid him all this money. There are other needs. Why are you not addressing those things, Howie Roseman? Go out there and get a quarterback in round four or round five and groom that guy if you want to be this quarterback factory. You don't need to take that talented player, yes, at that position for this football team. There are other needs for this squad. while we are here today, I probably have to sit here and say they're in a better position now than they were, would be, with Carson Wentz on this football team right now. Carson Wentz is a better quarterback of how he goes about quarterbacking, whereas Jalen Hurts is probably the more talented guy because of how he goes about his business and getting the work done. He's also probably a better leader where those veterans gravitate more to him, listen to him a little bit more than they did with Carson Wentz. That's why I believe the Eagles are probably in a better position than they would have been had Carson Wentz been here. So as we start things off tonight and prepare for Washington and Philadelphia, week three, 1-1 Washington, 2-0 Philadelphia Eagles, do you feel like the Philadelphia Eagles are in a better position with their football team and starting with the quarterback position because of Jalen Hurts being in the spot that he is right now as a better leader, where he may not be as talented as a thrower as Carson Wentz? He's probably a better overall talent in general with the amount of things that he can do on the football field. Couple that with the leadership aspect of it, where that may not have been there with Carson Wentz. If things were so divided in the locker room, with Carson Wentz being this one guy and Jalen Hurts just being a likable person, where they tend to lean more his direction than Carson Wentz's, knowing that he was the franchise quarterback at that moment, what does that do to you? That kind of brings us back to the talent in general over just talent versus leadership when it comes to a football team or in any sport of what you prefer on your football team or your team in general. Because even if the talent is there, how much are they really going to go out there and play hard for you or lack thereof if they don't really like the quarterback or like the guy, they don't really buy into it? And if your talent is talent but not like top five quarterback talent, then they're like, I'm not really listening to this dude. I can't stand this guy. And then we started to get those reports from Joe Santoliquido. We hear things from Tim McManus, Jeff McClain on the Anthony Gargano show, Josina Anderson taking down all of this stuff with Josina Anderson from Alshon Jeffrey. And we didn't want to believe, oh, he's snitching coming out of the locker room. By the way, he was probably right? But we didn't want to believe it. But when you look at it, and we sit here and talk about it, are they better off whether right at this moment had they kept Carson Wentz or where they are right now with Jalen Hurts? That's part of the question. But it's also, what's more important? If you don't have the level of talent to be a top five quarterback or even a top 10 quarterback, and right now Jalen Hurts is a top 10 quarterback in the league based on some of these rankings out there after week two. But not many of us before the season would have said he's a better quarterback than Carson Wentz. After week two, you probably say that because of the 2-0 record. The way he has played, he has been tremendous. Carson Wentz has also started off pretty well, but the nod will probably go to Jalen Hurts. But what makes it easier for you as a fan when you look at it from the outside in, even though it's your team, if you have that talent, but he's not a top five, top 10 quarterback, but you have another guy who's probably somewhere in that 15 to 20 range, but a good leader, and you can still win because the talent is good around you? Which one do you prefer? Which one means more for your team as you go along and you build this thing going forward as a team that's trying to win a championship? 610-632-0975. After this week, I know I won't talk about Carson Wentz again until they play them down the line, this time when he returns for the first time to Lincoln Financial Field. It's relevant right now because they're playing Washington this weekend. I didn't say a peep about him after week one or after week two, just because, right away, because that's Washington's situation. That's their problem, not Philadelphia's anymore. But this is the first time we get to see him. We're going to get a lot of stories, a lot of things that come out from the past with Carson Wentz. And again, I was a huge Carson Wentz person here in town. I really was. Thought he was it. Anthony had theme music for him. because that's how good of a quarterback he was in the moment to start things off. MVP of 2017. I thought he was that good. I remember my buddy. I became buddies with him as a caller, as a listener, Wade and Chester, because of how much he would get on me. And we would have good battles, good conversations about Carson Wentz and how we were giving him too much too early. And then even after 2017 season, he gave him the credit, but still wasn't the biggest fan, needed to see more. And we do that with young people, talent out there, where we evaluate them and allow ourselves to give each other time in general to really look at them before we elevate them to a level where they don't need to be. And Wade was right. Wade was right when he would call in. As it stands now, he's on his third team, Carson Wentz. I was wrong. Wade was right. Maybe if you heard him yesterday with his midweek press conference leading into this game, where he, for the first time, took accountability, said he has matured from the situation. I don't know that to be true, but he said it, so all I can do is take him on his word. I'm not there in Washington to focus on it day to day like we did during his time here in Philadelphia. I was a big Wentz supporter, but I do believe that they are better off where they are right now with Jalen Hurts as the quarterback, even though I don't even know if he's the franchise going forward. I think they are positioned better at this point. That's where I want to start with you. Are they positioned better with where they are right now with Jalen Hurts than if Carson Wentz, if the things would have continued to trend the way that they were with him in this final season here, are they better off right now with Jalen Hurts as a quarterback? 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock on this Thursday night. Keep you up on what's going on with the Phillies and the Braves. This important four-game series tipping off tonight at the Citizens Bank Park. We'll also keep you posted if you don't have Amazon Prime Video on what's going on with the Thursday night football game between Cleveland and Pittsburgh, the kickoff week number 3. And as we talk about where the birds are, if they are better off with this quarterback right now than they would have been with Carson Wentz. Again, tough to project, but things were trending downward for him before he was traded, and I think he wanted to get out of here. Also, when you look at things right now with the quarterback position and where they are right now, I mean, I gotta ask you, do you feel like, you know, things were done the right way as we move forward now with Jalen Hurts? 610-632-0975. We'll start things off. We'll get Tom Alvord's thoughts. We'll talk about Ben Simmons in the 8 o'clock hour a little bit later. We'll get Tom's thoughts here shortly on the show. Also, we'll give you our side topic, as always, here on 97.5 The Fanatic. But let's begin in Lansdowne with Kevin tipping things off for us tonight on this Thursday night. What's up, Kev?
Hey, Devon. How you doing, man?
Pretty good, man. How about you?
Man, I'm all right. It's been a while since I called in.
It has been, man. Everything good overall?
Everything's good overall.
Glad to hear.
So I do agree with you that I believe the team as constructed right now is better off with Jalen than Carson. But I had a question for you.
Sure.
Do you think that things with Carson would have been a little different had things not transpired the way they did on the field? Like, Carson to me wasn't a big turnover guy his rookie year or his second year.
Yeah.
And then he gets hurt, Foles comes in, wins the Super Bowl, and then all of a sudden his third year, it's like he's a turnover machine. Interceptions, fumbles, you know, holding on to the ball too long. And I thought from that point right there, I said, okay, you know what, he's pressing and he's trying to do too much because he just watched the backup quarterback win the Super Bowl, and you know, Carson went from, you know, the top talk of the city to now everybody's fawning over Nick Foles.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like from that point on, he never got over mentally the Foles thing. And then when we finally did ship Foles out, we turned around and then we draft Jalen in the second round.
Right. And I was, I'll even take it back to Kev. You know, Joe Torta used to say, that statue with Doug Peterson and Nick Foles outside of that stadium is a problem. You know what I mean?
It is.
Because Carson Wentz is still your franchise quarterback. And And yeah. And looking at that, you know, Joe was right. And as we look at it today, the Nick Foles part of it, then the Jalen Hurts piece on draft night where Joe and I were here together with Tyler Zuli producing the show. And we were all like, yo, no, not only are you wasting a draft pick because you need other things, why are you doing this when you just gave this franchise quarterback all this money? You just got rid of Nick Foles. Why are you going to now, if he is already mentally fragile, put this guy who is talked about as one of the, you know, talented quarterbacks coming out of the draft? Why are you going to put him there? So for the first thing that goes wrong, then we're going to be calling for him to be in the game. I agree with you that I thought it didn't do him any good, but as a quarterback too, knowing that you did have that franchise money there for you and you were the franchise quarterback, he probably needed to handle that a little bit better where he went out there and played and left no doubt of who was the franchise quarterback going forward.
You know what, and I agree. I'm not saying that he handled it maturely at all. I just feel like when Foles won the Super Bowl and that off season came, the city was just too divided. Like I can remember, you know, listening to 97.5 and hearing callers come up, you know, saying, oh well, you know, it was divided. You know, well, should we keep Carson? Carson is our guy, or oh, should we start Foles and then move off Carson? And I just said, you know what? Whatever the Eagles do, if you decide to roll with Foles, then roll with Foles. And you have to move one of these guys. You know, if Carson is your guy, and you're going to stick by him and hope that he bounces back after the injury, then you had to move Foles right after the Super Bowl. You couldn't keep him in the locker room hovering over Carson's shoulder because the town was just too divided.
Yeah, and ready to move on in a second if things didn't go the right way. Hey, Kev, thanks for the call as always, man. Good to hear from you. Don't be a stranger, man. We'll catch up.
Thanks, Devon.
You got it, man. Appreciate it. That's where we'll be getting tonight. Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts, they'll be opposite each other on Sunday in Washington for week number 3's game with the Philadelphia Eagles traveling to Washington. Birds should win the game, we think. Washington looks to be a little bit better than they were a season ago. But for the Philadelphia Eagles, where are they? Are they in a better spot than they were, than they would be if Carson Wentz was still in town? Could be a lot of factors that have changed, you know, by the time he left to where we are right now. But, you know, Jalen Hurts is here at the moment. They look to be in a good spot, ranked number 3 after 2 weeks in the NFL.com power rankings. They look to be pretty good, where a lot of people are jumping on the bandwagon thinking they could be a Super Bowl representative for the NFC. How do you feel? Are the Birds in a better spot right now, even though Jalen Hurts has not locked down a franchise quarterback title for the Philadelphia Eagles? Are they better off right now than if they had kept Carson Wentz? 610-632-0975. Tom Alvord will get his thoughts. We'll talk about Ben Simmons and J.J. Redick a little bit later. We got you covered on this Thursday night right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
.733-97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you. 610-632-0975. Are the Birds better off with the quarterback that they currently have in Jalen Hurts than Carson Wentz? 610-632-0975. Tough to say. Coaching changes, different personnel moves, all of that. Yeah, different offensive scheme. Would Nick Sirianni be the coach? What would he have done with Carson Wentz? I don't know. Right? I don't know. But those two are facing off this weekend as the Birds look to go 3-0. And I believe that they are currently, even though we don't have an answer yet as to who will be the franchise quarterback, do feel pretty good about Jalen Hurts after week number 2. 610-632-0975. Before we get to Vince, let's go to Tom Alvord, bring him into the show. Tom, good evening.
What's going on, man?
You were a Carson Wentz guy like myself.
I was, absolutely.
Like Anthony. Like many, what do you make of the situation that the Eagles are in right now? And would they be better off with Carson Wentz on this team?
Yeah, so I, like you said, it was a big Carson Wentz guy. His entire tenure here and a little bit after his tenure here as well. And it's funny, I never really got to talk about it on air because my first week training is when Carson Wentz ended up getting traded to the Indianapolis Colts. And your first week training, nobody cares what you think. And people still might not care what I think, but that's fine. But especially your first week training.
Yeah.
So I never got to talk about it, but we've talked about it a ton since then. Was a big Wentz guy. Just, it was kind of like believing in someone when you know you shouldn't at this point, like staying in a relationship longer than you should, even though people around you see that the relationship is not a good one, is not a healthy one. Right now, when it comes down to it, and at the time of the Jalen Hurts pick, when Wentz was still here in the starting quarterback, I said at the time of the pick, not right now, I said that was the worst pick in Eagles franchise history because you had your guy Carson Wentz, who you just paid a ton of money. You finally get Nick Foles off of his back. You finally get rid of him. It is his team. Doesn't matter that that statue's out there. That guy's no longer here. It is Wentz's team finally. And then right after that, a couple months later, a couple weeks later, whatever it was, you end up drafting his replacement. And I know they say it was a backup, Jalen Hurts, and that's what he's drafted for. When you draft a quarterback in the second round or higher, that is a replacement for the guy who is there already. In my eyes, at least, that is too high of a draft pick to just pick on a backup. So, to me, at the time, said it was the worst Eagles draft pick in Eagles history. Now, on September 22nd, 2022, I think it was the right move to get rid, not only to get rid of Wentz, but probably the Hurts pick, because even though I believe in the talent, and I'm the kind of guy that always believes talent will overcome everything, it's obvious, at least right now, with Wentz being on his third team in 3 years, that despite all the talent that guy has, there's just something wrong upstairs, or multiple things wrong upstairs, that restricts him and limits him from being a true franchise quarterback. So far, at least, a lot can change. We're only in week two in 2022. We could be 10 weeks from now, and Wentz could completely turn a corner. He gets better with his turnovers, whatever it may be, a better locker room guy. I highly doubt it, but you never know what could happen. But right now, 2 weeks in, even though he's putting up good numbers, Wentz,
yeah,
you just, seeing that he's on his third team in 3 years, and seeing how these guys just in the Eagles locker room just gravitate to Hurts and just believe in this guy, and how true of a leader he seems to be, and how we hear how we hear that he is the kind of leader that he is. To me, it's just that guy, I don't believe in Carson Wentz, was never going to work out and may never work out as a franchise quarterback because he just doesn't have it between the ears. Despite the limitations still on Jalen Hurts, you can't question that kid at all between the ears. So I don't believe that Wentz would have worked out here. It was probably for the best that they moved on, and I don't know if he'll ever work out as a franchise quarterback anywhere. This might be his last chance, honestly.
Might be. Might be.
It doesn't work four teams in 4 years. Right. You're not starting at that point.
He has some good receivers. Terry McLaurin is an all Pro Bowl level wide receiver. Chris Samuel finally on the field.
Curtis Samuel, sorry.
And scoring touchdowns, so he's doing some stuff. And then you have Jahan Dotson as the number three. That looks pretty good. Now we figure out the running back, Antonio Gibson, Brian Robinson, whenever he does come back. You have Lance Thomas at the tight end position. They have stuff, so he has weapons. There's no excuse with this one. The defense, last season, we were talking about how good they were coming into this to the season, that if they hold up their end, then the offense should be okay. And if he can just be a mid-level quarterback,
15-ish range quarterback,
exactly,
yeah,
then they'll probably be okay. Because, again, the talent is still there. A lot of it had to do was up top and him being who he needed to be and stop being, I guess, in a sense, like the self-centered kind of guy that he turned out to seem to be based on reports.
Standoffish, immature maybe,
yeah,
not coachable.
Right, yeah, all that stuff. So, yeah, I appreciate your honesty about, you know, thinking that that was the worst pick in history at that time. I did not like it. I didn't know if it was the worst pick at the time, but I certainly didn't like it for that time at pick number 53 when there were so many other guys there that could help the football team out. 610-632-0975. We'll get Tom's thoughts a little bit more as we go along. Certainly tap into the J.J. Redick podcast with Ben Simmons. Let's go to Vince and Camden next on 97.5. What's up, Vin?
Hey, to the juice, man.
Oh, man, all good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Okay, man. Yeah, you got me in the watch since I got in the car, man. I said, my man, Divine, don't take him on to get me on. But, you know, I do want to say what your boy just said on that just now. I said that exact same thing about when they drafted Hurts with the Wentz. the Eagles, that was their part messing this up. If you want to move on from the, I wish they had just moved on from Wentz and then got hurt something want to do, but trying to pass it off like, oh yeah, nothing to worry about. He's just a backup. Don't worry about it. But you drafted that boy in the second round. You don't draft backups in the second round. So, you know, that was their part in making everything like sloppy while Wentz was still here. I wish they had just gotten rid of him and then got hurt. Or, to some of that effect, you can fill out whatever they got for Wentz the following year. They traded him. They could have gotten more than that. They did that before the draft that you're asking them to do. But, you know, don't try to go super bus. That part, that's what made me mad in terms of as far as that part of doing it, man.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. Go ahead. Yep.
Yeah. Now, as far as the, you said, where are you calling? Because I answered it. Somebody asked me a couple of times, actually, when the immunity of Washington game was coming up about who's better between Wentz or Hurts. The exact thing I said was almost what you said now. I said, Jalen Hurts. I said, Carson Wentz is the better quarterback. Jalen Hurts is the better football player. Mm-hmm. That's the exact way I said it. I said, in terms of who's going to be better long term, it's going to be about, this is before she even started, by the way, too. So we know what we're seeing now. You know, Jalen is, what we're seeing him do is exactly what I want him to do as our quarterback. And any doubts we had about his, anything he can do physically in terms of his limitations or whatever, he's really kind of answering those questions. I think somebody said the other day on TV, he said he's answering the questions. We've put an exclamation point on the questions now.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He's taking away the question mark and put an exclamation point there. And I love that he's doing that because he's the better football player. He does everything else right. He goes out preparation, coaching, all that stuff. That stuff Wentz was missing. Wentz has the better natural ability being a throw of the football. And I thought that he's the better quarterback because as far as throwing a football, I'd rather see him do it than see Jalen. I think he's better at it. But, you know, there's been plenty of guys in the NFL who don't have those rocket arms who've been, you know, some of the best guys ever to get under center. And I wasn't going to give Jalen credit for doing it until I've seen him do it. That's why I'm glad he got this year. But, Von, man, I mean, I know we were 2 weeks in, and I'm trying to calm myself down, but, he's looking, my favorite, one of my favorite players, my favorite non-Eagles in the league is Russell Wilson. And I don't want to say he's reminding me of Russell Wilson too soon because I'm trying to calm down. But Devon, when you watch how he knows exactly when to run and when to slide and when to do the power, and he's keeping his eyes downfield now. And he knows the way he was throwing last week, I was like, you can see the there, man. So I started a little bit off, but now I think, Jalen, again, he's definitely some point as far as your question goes, as far as he's the guy so far right now. I think you're better off with him because with Wentz, he would have had to go to what he went to, no matter where he was at.
Yeah, yeah.
And he wasn't going to get another 3 years to do it here. Another 2 years to do it here. Hopefully, it's going to happen like that.
Gotcha. You all right, man. Hey, Vin, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Always great to catch up, man. We'll talk.
Sure
enough. You got it, man. Appreciate it. And you know what, Tom? 610-632-0975. We got Amir coming up next here in North Philly as the Birds are 2-0, Washington 1-1. The part that Vinny was just talking about where we also mentioned it in the opening segment of what do you prefer? The talent, but all the stuff that goes there with it where you know, like we talked about with Wentz, or more of the leadership aspect, but a better football player, not as good as a quarterback. Still time to develop, but right now, that's where we are.
I'm the kind of guy, as I mentioned just a couple minutes ago, I always usually go talent over intangibles and great leadership and all of those things, just because when it comes to professional sports, most of the time talent, especially special talent, can usually prove itself to be worth it and worth all sometimes the headaches that come along with it. Aaron Rodgers has tons of headaches and there's issues about his playoff record and off the field stuff, but man, is that dude talented. And a lot of the times, especially in the regular season, talent overweighs all the negative stuff. That's why I still, to an extent, believe in a guy like Kyler Murray, because I know there's worries about his immaturity and his size and all of those things. But when you look at him and his arm talent in particular and what he can do, and we saw him scrambling around, running 100 yards to get that 2-point conversion or fourth down, whatever it was last week, I am one that is always going to lean talent eventually will overcome all the negative things, especially when it's really young. I believed it about Wentz, though, and that, at least now, does not seem to be the case at all. Now, it could just be an outlier. It absolutely could. But I usually lean talent over other stuff that goes along with it. But sure, right now, I'd be proven wrong by Jalen Hurts.
And you can win. You may not be able to win that way long term, where you have the talent, let's say, of, as we always talk about, Herbert and Burrow and, you know, all these
Mahomes,
other guys.
Allen, Mahomes, sure.
Yeah, all those guys. But maybe you win one. Maybe you win one, but maybe he's the one that you win a couple. I mean, look at the talent that Lamar Jackson has. There are some who will say Jalen Hurts is a better thrower than Lamar Jackson. Lamar has a weird delivery, and I question a lot of stuff that Lamar would do too, and I'm a big Lamar supporter. But I'd be like, see, this is where they won't win because he takes too many chances right there, and he does that, and weird throw in this interception, or he's running with the ball loose like he's LeSean McCoy, and next thing you know, it's a fumble, and all those types of things. Where Jalen is, all right, yeah, but can you fit the ball in there? Can you do that? We started to see that. As Vince just talked about it, we're starting to see that a little bit now. It's early, but it's encouraging. Amir and look, Wentz had the arm strength to fit the ball anywhere.
He still does. He'll make throws that Jalen Hurts will never make. I know we've all been impressed a lot about the growth of Jalen Hurts so far. Wentz, when it comes down to it, not as consistent as you would like him, and even maybe as Hurts right now, but he can still make throws that Jalen Hurts cannot make, just purely off talent alone and God-given talent alone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that doesn't mean he's going to be the better quarterback going forward.
No.
Yes.
No. 610-632-0975. Mirror North Philly next on 97.5. Mirror, what's happening?
How you feeling?
Pretty good.
All right, so I got give the guy a run for his money for the worst picks ever. McDougal and Danny Watkins, I think, are worse picks than Jalen Hurts.
Let Tom know.
So, that's that. But I think from the standpoint of where they are, where Carson was in his career when he was here, with the money situation, I think we're better off just on that standpoint.
On that, the financial aspect of it.
Because everybody knows once the quarterback get paid, we're going to suffer somewhere. So will we be able to bring in the safety, the cornerback, the linebackers, and all these different people to fill in a team if you still have Carson on the roster? So I don't think that would have happened if you still had Carson as opposed to Jalen Hurts on his roster.
Fair point. Now look, Howie is supposed to be the one that can work numbers and work wonders with the numbers to make sure once paying Carson Wentz that he can make all that happen and put the roster together the right way. But as of right now, to your point, Jalen Hurts is on his rookie deal as a second rounder, not even as a first rounder, where there's a lot of maneuverability and freedom there because of the money that's not tied into that position.
Yeah, so, and as far as Jalen, one thing that I want to talk about that I think is that got me on, like, kind of excited, from last year as opposed to this year. Last year, he held onto the ball too long. He took unnecessary hits. There's several times where he had a chance to throw the ball away and he wouldn't, and he would lose yardage as opposed to just throwing it away and having the same down the distance. When you look at the all 22, he missed receivers consistently game after game. We could talk about the Tampa Bay game, or we could talk about the game where he threw it to Rager and he dropped it, but he could have went to, what's his name? The rookie?
Devontae Smith,
when he was like waving his hand. So he did that consistently last year, and he didn't throw people open. In the first two games, first game he was getting rushed a whole lot, and he made the right plays. He made plays with his feet. When people were open, he found them more times than not. It was his best friend. But he made the right plays. Second game, they played a softer defense, and he found the right players at the right time. So I think everything that he didn't do well last year, it's only been two games, but he's doing, everybody's ranting and raving on how he's making the right reads and his mechanics are better. So I think going forward, I think he's our guy if he continue on his path.
Yep, absolutely. Mary, you all set with your FanFest tickets?
No, I was about to ask you about that because I need some.
We got it. We're going to start giving them out, man. We're going to start giving them out for the remainder of the night. What, we got 9 more days until FanFest, something like that? Yeah, we're getting close. Didn't it creep up on us getting here fast, Mir?
Man. For sure.
Yeah, sure did, man. Well, listen, man, you know I always can't wait to see you. Make sure you find us next Saturday at Xfinity Live. We'll be there 1 to 5 Fan Fest October 1st. Mir, always great to catch up, man. Hang on. Tom Alvord will check in with you. And Fan Fest will be, as mentioned, Saturday, October 1st from 1 to 5 at Xfinity Live. You must be 21 to enter. Just announced, Avante Maddox presented by the AACR because cancer research saves lives. Donate at 975thefanatic.com/AACR. Darius Slay, he'll be there. That'll be courtesy of CSL Plasma and the presenting sponsor. They will be hosting the entire Fan Fest, and LaShawn McCoy will also be there courtesy of our presenting sponsor. Some of the things that are happening at Fan Fest, the Sixers. Uh-oh, folks, get ready. Sixers, media day, Monday, training camp, Tuesday is here. They will be there at Fan Fest, bringing their court out there. They've got the bell that is being rung before every game. That will be on site. And Franklin, the mascot, will be making an appearance at Fan Fest. Philadelphia Union bringing their 50-foot inflatable soccer field. The Flyers and Wings will be on site with games and interactive activities. Vehicles like Lamborghinis, Rolls Royces, and Ferraris. You can grab a picture with those. That's courtesy of Imagine Lifestyles Luxury Rentals. All the Fanatic hosts will be on site for show meet and greets all day. The Haunted Beach, created by Elite Landscaping of New Jersey. Plenty of food and drinks all day. More will be added each week leading up to Fan Fest. And don't forget about the 100-foot obstacle course that Tom will be racing Dylan McKinnon in from Betty's Bounces, or the Mechanical Shark, the three-person rock wall, Spider Mountain. It's all going to be there, courtesy of
FanDuel Sportsbook.
You got it.
I'm cooking Dylan, by the way.
You're going to cook Dylan.
It's over! It's over, ladies and gentlemen!
I don't know. My money might be on Dylan. I don't know.
Depends how early on in the day.
I got to drop some grass in the air and see what the wind is blowing that's how I'm going to determine how that's going to be won.
All right, if you say so. Don't matter what's blowing.
Let's go to our Maine in Delco on 97.5. Maine.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you this evening?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Very well, man. I wanted to make 3 points, and thanks for having me on. I'm going to go through these quickly because I want your feedback, right? You know, number one, the Eagles have always, since the days of Andy Reid, they've always been a quarterback factory. But nobody clue went in on that fact. You know, we were always going to bring in better quarterbacks that we can talk up, train up. And if you're going to have a backup, we need to have a stud that's a backup. They call Andy Reid the quarterback whisperer. Well, since he's gone, we still are a quarterback factory. We trade him. We bring him in. You know, nobody told Wentz that. You know, second of all, this man wanted to be the man before he ever became a champion. And I'm going to tell you what, that first season, I was like, wow, this kid reads defense. Like, he can read. Look at him. You know, and it was amazing. He carried us as far as he can carry us. He got hurt. His backup, who was a stud, because the Eagles are a quarterback factory, came in, and he won us the game. He won us the whole kit and caboodle, everything. So he's the man. We gave Wentz the ball back and said, now show us again. And he couldn't do it. I don't know if he was injured or I don't know if it was his confidence then, but for whatever reason, he didn't produce the same way he produced as a rookie. But third of all, brother, Jerry Jones saw who Hurts was. He saw it. And there were minimum news clips back when we drafted him to say, you know, Dallas was looking at him and you know what? Jerry didn't want to pay Dak Prescott, didn't want to pay him. You remember, they were negotiating this contract at the very same time that year. Jerry didn't want to pay him. He was looking at Hurts. And if you hear Jerry talk all week, what'd he say? He's scared. He's scared. He don't want to face up.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have their hands full. He drafted Judy and all them players that year. They turn around, they trade Cooper, and they lose a few more players, and now they're in a rebuilding. Nobody knows that Dallas is rebuilding. From the money perspective, okay, Jerry was smart too. And these are things I like about Jerry. I don't even know if it's a GM down there. I bet you he got enough money to pay all kind of talent evaluators, but they were right about Hurts. And if they got him, We would be afraid of them right now. Getting them in the second round meant they saved money too. This is what Howie saw. This is his genius. And so just like Dallas hurdled us and drafted those receivers when we wanted them, we hurdled them and got hurt, which was their whole future. Hurts was their future. Now he ours. Whose side would you rather see him on?
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't want to face him when he does the stuff that he does well. But then there are the times where you're like, all right, yeah, I see the things that he doesn't do well, which is why we wanted to see him improve, of course, and not ready to lock him in as a long-term guy, that there are some things that he still needs to grow as a player to be a better quarterback in this league. But, yeah, I certainly would love to have him on my side versus having on the opposing side, because I don't want – he's a dual threat, and I don't want to have to deal with that.
Give me that then. After seeing that last game, he's young. And, of course, there's a lot he can do to recruit. But, God, my God, man, this cat came out as a rookie wearing a yellow suit like he was already in the Hall. You understand?
Well, he was just trying to be cool. He's a non-dresser. He was trying to be cool. That's all. I don't hold that against him.
Swagger.
He just needed a better tailor and a better stylist.
He had the swagger then. None of us seen it. You know, in Philly, we just look at it like, yo, that's some cocky sugar honey iced tea right there.
I think most people just looked at it that he couldn't dress. He was trying too hard on that one. Man, listen, man, thanks for the call. Would you like some FanFest tickets?
Absolutely, brother.
You got it, man. Hang on. We'll get you all squared away. Tom's got you covered. We'll come back. We'll start off with Cool in South Philly. You haven't talked to Cool in a while. We got Pat, Bilal, Reese, Rob. And from Overbrook, haven't talked to Robbie in a while either. We got basketball coming up, Robbie. 610-632-0975. We'll play some audio, too, from the J.J. Redick podcast featuring Ben Simmons. A lot of disappointed people, myself included, with J.J. Redick. I was just talking to my best friend, one of my best friends, like my brother. He's a therapist, and he looked at it differently. He thought it was a good, informative interview because we're not looking at it as just performers and all that. Well, he wasn't looking at it just performers. He was looking at it as what he does for work and talking about the mental part of things. So we'll dive into that a little bit as we go on throughout the evening on this Thursday night. Phils, by the way, currently leading the Atlanta Braves in the third, 1-0. JT Realmuto is hot. Ranger Suarez doing his job right now. It's 1-0. We'll continue with everything when we get back right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
.475 The Fanatic. Tom, do you think you could hit 60 home runs in on a little league field?
Yeah.
All right.
What? How long? Do I get 60 pitches? Then no, probably not. But
you get
give me 162 game season.
Yeah,
easy.
You get 60 games.
Yeah.
All right.
I think so.
Aaron Judge,
especially against
good.
A little league kid. Yeah.
Aaron Judge's pretty good.
Yeah, he's not bad. He might win Triple Crown this year, which is absolutely incredible. With 60
homers.
Amazing. Yeah.
With 60 homers.
He's got 20 more homers than the number two guy in the majors at Kyle Schwarber.
Kyle Schwarber has 40, right?
Yes.
Yeah. How
many
more games do they have?
I don't know exactly. I'll check, but probably like around the same as the Phillies. 18, I think.
Yeah, I'll take a peek right now as I look at the standings. But what would you, and you said this, so I'll let you really start it off, but what would you have, the kids who caught the ball when he hit his 60th. They didn't want anything. They just wanted to give him the baseball.
Yes.
Like, okay, cool. I'm a nice person too, I think. But I don't know about that. I'm like, yeah, I'll take some season tickets. I'll take a signed jersey. Sign something for my kids. You know what I mean? I want something. Like, remember when Denzel was talking to Jamie Foxx in that interview? He was like, I'm around the way. I'm leaving here with something.
Yes, I do remember
I'm
that.
Leaving here with something.
Yes. Yes. I think you have to. So if you missed it, Judge hit his 60th home run the other night, and the fan who caught it asked for no money and gave it back. He said he wanted Judge to have it and that it was his accomplishment, and he's happy what he did for the franchise, the Yankees franchise, as it is. Very noble, kind of corny at the same time, probably kind of stupid at the same time. Yeah, so I got to thinking, if you were to catch Judge's 60 that he may... No, he just got walked. Sorry. He was walking. Yeah,
walking.
He was
pimp-walking
a little bit.
He
yeah.
walked
because they are showing that on the Phillies game on television, which they should. I think that's a cool thing that they're doing the little live looking. So, if you were to catch Judge's 62nd homer, which would break the AL record, if you were to catch Bryce Harper's 500th home run, if you were to catch Tom Brady's final touchdown pass... What are you asking for if you're the fan that caught that or was given the ball, whatever it may be? What are you asking for? Are you asking for nothing because Aaron Judge has done a ton for your favorite franchise? Bryce Harper has done a ton for your favorite franchise. Albert Pujols has done a ton for the Cardinals franchise. Or are you a little bit more selfish than that? And I don't blame you because I am too. What are you asking for? What is the first thing you're demanding? What is the last thing you're demanding if you catch one of those home run balls or game-winning touchdowns, whatever it may be?
I mean, look, I'm not going to be crazy and just, like, demand money. I'm not holding them hostage for that.
No.
But I would say, all right, cool, you know. I'll take a jersey, signed jersey. Doesn't have to be the jersey that you hit it in. That's probably going to the Hall of Fame.
Yes, definitely.
That's going to Cooperstown. So I'll just take, give me another jersey, a bat or a baseball, and I'm done. And I'm cool. And the tickets. Give me like a half a season ticket package.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. So I think, you have to meet the guy afterwards, whoever it is. You have, like, hey, let me meet the guy. Let me talk to Judge. Let me take a picture, whatever it is. I'm getting some kind of tickets out of it.
Getting something.
Some kind of tickets. Even if it's, like, a couple Sunday games, whatever it may be. Even if it's against, I don't know, the Detroit Tigers or something. Just give me some tickets to next season, whatever it may be. If you want to go season tickets, that's fine. I'm not going to turn it down. Yeah, and then either a bat. Or jersey or autographed baseball, whatever it may be, something like that. But I think meeting the person is number one, and two, I think, should be tickets for next season.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. 610-632-0975. What would you guys do? What would you guys, do you think those kids got it right? Or do you think those kids got it wrong by saying, we don't want anything. Let's just take a picture and be done with it. I'm not a greedy person, I don't think. I like memorabilia things. I do. I do like memorabilia things. I definitely would have done that, though. That's it. I wouldn't have held him hostage for money or anything. That's
you know some people.
Me. Absolutely.
Well, what was the
like,
one?
What was the guy? What's the guys? The guys that run around? Is it like Hample? Is
yeah,
it
Hample? Zach Hample.
Like
that,
what
nerd.
What would that have been? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
You're not. Going crazy over or anything like that, asking for a statue like Nick Foles has outside of the link or anything like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't blame you. I probably wouldn't either. Actually, now that I think of it, I feel like a jersey needs to be, some kind of signed jersey needs to be over tickets for next year because that's something you're always going to have. Like I said, I'm a big memorabilia guy, as are yourself. So I feel like that probably goes ahead of tickets, but meeting the guy's still number one.
All right. Real fast before we get to cool here, would you ask for a Yankee hat?
Nah.
Me neither.
Nah, because...
And it's just a legendary hat.
Yeah.
It's real simple. They do it right. It's, you identify with it. It's everywhere. But I'm not, I don't want the hat.
Nah.
I'll take the jersey just because of the significance of what he did, and I happen to be there to catch the baseball. That's it. That's
yeah,
it.
I think that. Do you remember when Mike Evans gifted what Tom Brady's like game or historic touchdown pass ball. And we had a conversation. This might have been part of the leftovers.
Yeah.
At some point.
That.
And
they got season tickets, right?
They got their list of demands was this. It was
list of demands.
Legit. It was like you the old cartoon where you take it out and it just rolls down like all the way down the hallway or something like that. I'll find the exact thing, but like I don't blame you if you did do that. I wouldn't do it, but I'm sure some people out there would.
I saw one of the coolest Yankee hats out there. Like, look, I'm the dad that when I teach my girls about sports when they're growing up, you can like players and stuff, but you're not. You grow up with your teams that you grow up with here, and that's it. you can like other things, like the, you know, players. You can, the teams are out. You have a rooting interest in the championship. You can say, I prefer this team to win, stuff like that. But my daughter, it's funny because I was just talking to her. She just FaceTimed me during the break. And she was like, Dad, I want a Yankee hat. I'm like, no, you don't.
No, you don't. Too bad.
No. Like, if you have a favorite player, my oldest, she was a big Kevin Durant in his Oklahoma City days. Huge Kevin Durant fan. Huge. Got the sneakers. We had to buy her sneakers. She didn't want the jersey or anything like that. She wanted the backpack, the KD big backpack. I have that now because she doesn't want it anymore. So I have it. I use it for, like, going to the gym or with like a short weekend trip or something. You should use the bag for that. Big Kevin Durant fan. And she still likes him, you know.
She never won jersey, though?
Never wanted the jersey.
Interesting.
Never wanted the jersey, but she was a big Kevin Durant fan. She liked the OKC colors and all that stuff, the orange, blue, and, you know, the sneakers. And also we had, like, a couple of pairs of sneakers as his KDs were coming out. And, but my middle one, who asked for the Yankee hat, she's the one that fights it like, but why not? Why can't I like a Yankee hat? It's cool. You know, and all these other people were done, like, let me explain it again. These are the rules. You were born here. This is how it goes. All that stuff, right? And it's always a fun dynamic. But I say that to say I saw one of the coolest Yankee. This is this place I shop. It's a New York-based place. And they have a lot of Yankee Mets stuff. And I'm like, damn, these are cool. But I can't do
it. You can't do it. I'm glad you didn't.
But I won't do it. I won't do it.
You can't pick style over your
the only time I did
pride.
Was as a kid when I would buy different baseball hats because I like the baseball caps and especially the Detroit Tigers because around our way, you wear it kind of because it's your first initial of your name, so I would have the Tigers hats and all that stuff. All right, 610-632-0975. What would you have asked for? Cool. If you caught that Judge 60th home run baseball, what would you have asked for?
I need, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Good, man.
I need the jersey, though. I need the jersey, some tickets. You know, put the tickets on. I don't know, man. I need the jersey and some tickets, man.
I think that's fair.
And I need a few tickets. Like, I need, because, like, come on. Come on, man. He's killing it right now. But I want to get back to the Wentz thing, and I want to say that right now, with the team constructed before I lose it, I just think it's too soon to say. And I also want to say, like, in Philly, you know, like, we already know how we are. It's just the pendulum swing one way or the other. Wentz, honestly, to me, it was the worst storm that could ever happen to him because he didn't know he wasn't a leader. He didn't know he wasn't funny. He didn't know that he wasn't liked until he went down in the whole. It's like at one point, he was on top of the world. He went from hero to zero so quick that I think, like, he never recovered mentally. He always was, like, the guy that did everything right, said everything right. I look at him like that. It's like he didn't know that he was this bad locker room person until it was time for him to climb back up. He never had to climb back up. He was always at the top. And I mean by it is, like, we got real recency bias. I remember, honestly, if he didn't go down, he was the NFL and MVP of the league.
Yes, he was.
Like, he took 11-3. I think, like, sometimes I know that we don't hate him in the city, but he went from the top to the – think about that. Like, when he went down and they won, it was real people actually saying, trade Wentz and keep, like, you know. They were like, yo, trade Wentz. We got Nick Foles. They were dead serious. It was like, wait, hold on, guys. I know he did it, but Wentz still Wentz. And I think he just never recovered mentally. You know, like, he just one of those dudes, like, he didn't know he had to. You know what I mean? He had to go back from the bottom and I honestly think that he also tried to be more like, he tried to build Rome in one day where he wanted to be liked again, wanted to be back on top again, trying to be a hero, like a hero super quarterback. Like, just like he started to really, mentally, he was out of it to me. It wasn't about, like you said, it wasn't about talent, but a lot happened to him so quick. He went from being MVP caliber, 11-3 Eagles. Look at him. Look at his arm still, like, they literally wanted to have Nick Foles play over him. He had to do too much too fast. Like, so I think it's just too soon for us to, like, crown Jalen Hurts. But I do believe that the team, he's a better team player. He's a
I'll
make sure I say it right here, Cool. We made sure when Tom and I started the show off that I pointed out, we still don't know if Jalen Hurts is the franchise quarterback. Yeah. However, where they are right now, are we just simply better off at looking at this Eagles team versus if Carson Wentz was still here? We don't know if he would have ever gotten over any of that stuff.
And I don't doubt that, but I'm more of the we can't just dismiss the fact that he's a part of bringing the band to the city that never had in our lifetime. It's like let's not get like we visit the Super Bowl winning city. We just go every year. We always there. We win championships. It's like without that dude's performance, without what he did in that regular season, we didn't have a chance to get that Super Bowl. And that's I can't get away from that. We here to win. So Jalen Hurts can be whatever he wants to be. He could be the next Donovan McNabb with a franchise, right? Maybe. But it's like Donovan McNabb didn't win though. Like it's about bringing a parade to the city. Like I look at that as a whole championships. That's all I got.
Man. I got you. I hear you, Cool. Listen, man, FanFest tickets?
Man, I got several. Thank you very much.
You got it. Cool. I love to hear it. Love to hear it. Thanks, man. We'll see you there. No doubt. We'll see you there, man. Really appreciate it. 610-632-0975. And maybe he didn't get over the mental part of it all. Maybe he didn't. And it's funny because I was talking to my daughter during the break and we were doing the FaceTime and all that. But I was also, as I mentioned, having a conversation via text with one of my best friends, who's literally like my brother. I've known him since we were 12. And he is in the field of that, where, you know, he's a therapist. And we were talking about it, and as we were talking about the Simmons part, it's interesting because Cool is talking about the same thing from Wentz's perspective. You mentioned it earlier with the Foles and then the Hurts part of him having to deal with that. And one of the things that he was saying to me, and he did ask this, he said, would your listeners even want to have that type of conversation, say if you talked about the mental health challenges? The only thing for me is, when we talk about the mental health challenges, I think, like, look, when Lane Johnson and Brooks,
Brandon Brooks, yep,
they came out with their, people didn't speak about football. At all. You didn't speak about football. You just said, I hope you get better. Take your time. Do what you need to do. When we would do pregame shows and preview shows during the week and all, no one would bring up their absence. You just talked about who was there because they had to deal with what they had to deal with. That's our level of speaking about the mental health because I don't know what Ben Simmons was going through, whether it was the thing about his brother and sister where they were going through their legal issues, whether it was the shooting thing, right, that's there. Who knows? I don't know. But I don't know, as he pointed out, can we suspend the non-shooting piece and talk about the mental health piece? I don't know because that's part of his story, in my opinion. It's part of his story. It has to be included in it. And it may be the same for Carson Wentz, where it has to be a part of it, but we don't know because he never said that was a part of things when it came to his issues here in Philadelphia. So 610-632-0975. It's an interesting thing, and we will play the Ben Simmons audio in the next segment, but it's an interesting piece.
I think the last caller was spot on with, I know Wentz gets a ton of hate in this city, a ton, and a lot of it is rightfully so for the way that he handled himself getting out of here, and now we hear all the noise in this other piece that came out today about how he truly is when he's in the locker room, or reportedly truly is when he's in the locker room. But I do think sometimes we in Philadelphia forget just what that guy brought us. And listen, he wasn't the one that won that game, but they are not in the Super Bowl if they don't have home field advantage, and they don't get home field advantage without Wentz being MVP type Wentz in that 2017 season and going, 11-3, the last caller just mentioned. He may be right. I don't know the exact record, but something along those lines. So yep. I know his first game back, he's probably going to get booed, and that's fine. I don't have an issue with it or anything like that, but we would not have the only Super Bowl in the franchise's history if it wasn't for Carson Wentz. You might not want to hear it, but it's true. It would not be the case.
610-632-0975.
In my opinion, at least.
In your opinion.
I feel very strongly about that.
Yeah, by the way, the Milwaukee Brewers are leading the Cincinnati Reds right now 2-0. So it would be in Philly's best interest.
They're going to continue to keep taking care of their business, the Brewers, I think.
So the Phillies need to do theirs.
Yeah, yes. And Bryce Harper has to do his as well.
Two outs now. One first and second runner on first and second. Bryce Harper has been struggling for sure. Let's go to Patrick next on the cell, 97.5. What's up, Pat?
Yo, Devon, man. It's been a while since I called.
What's going on, man?
Chill, last time I talked to you, bro, you was telling me that we wasn't going to get the coach for the Sixers. Oh, I'm blank. I just had a concussion. I'm blanking on his name.
Who, Doc Rivers?
Doc Rivers, yeah. And I told you, I was like, yo, we're going to get Doc. Like, 2 days later, we got Doc.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to happen. I really didn't.
Yeah, I know, bro, but I told you. But listen, yeah, with Carson Wentz, yo, that caller was spot on. Like, his injury, like that dive into the end zone, should be right next to Foles. Because he got us 80% of the way. Probably more than that, honestly.
That's why I thought he would come back and be able to recover like many did. Maybe not right away, but that year after, where everybody kind of gets back into that good groove, Pat, after the ACL injury.
Right. But if you watch that celebration, bro, like, it was like he wasn't celebrating. He was like patting Foles on the back and like whatnot, which like, you understand as a competitor, like, you're like, yeah, that wants to be him. He wanted that to be him, like, up there, like, and all that, which it very well could be. And it's the question, like, that I always ask people, like, what would you rather have? That guaranteed one Super Bowl with Foles? But Wentz not getting injured and the possibility of having multiple?
If you believe in Wentz, I'm sure a lot of people would say, if they felt like he would still be that guy for the next couple of seasons, I don't know because so many people were okay with having the one championship and saying we'll have 10 bad seasons and I'm cool with that. I'm not, you know, yeah. I'm greedy. I'm not going to say win five, but certainly if you have a window where you can win two, we always go back to the 2008, 2011 Phils and we say, oh, they should have had two. You know, from 2008 to 2012 because of how good they were. I'm one of those greedy ones.
Oh, yeah, no, like, and, you know, I was like, on board with, you know, the sharing of, like, I was, like, incredible. Like, dude, we got Foles and Wentz. But I knew it was going to come crashing down after I seen that celebration. And, you know, the city did not give Wentz, like, they acted like, he got hurt in preseason.
Or like he got hurt on purpose and he wasn't around to help the team out. I got you, man. I got you, Pat. Hey, Pat, you got FanFest tickets?
No, I do not.
Do you want some?
Yes.
Because you sound like a lot of fun. So I'm sure you'll have a good time at FanFest. Thanks, man. Hang on. Tom will get your information. Pat, and I hope your concussion is all clear with all that music and stuff is not too much for you. At FanFest and all, you know, the crowd, because it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. That's fun.
Sounds like it, yeah.
Sounds like it'll
be a good time.
Rob, my man, is there. We got Saeed, Allen, and we got a couple open phone lines for the first time. 610-632-0975. Jalen Hurts, Carson Wentz, they're going to be on the field together on Sunday in Washington as the Birds look to improve to 3-0. And as they cross paths here, just kind of looking at where they are in their careers and where the Philadelphia Eagles are right now. Are they better off where they are right now with Jalen Hurts versus if they still have Carson Wentz in the building? 610-632-0975. We'll also give you the audio of some of the J.J. Redick podcast, some of the things he had to say on J.J.'s podcast. I have thoughts. Many of you have thoughts. Maybe you haven't heard. We'll do that next right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
A33975 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Scoreless so far in the Washington-Pittsburgh game. So if you took the under, you're probably going to do well on that one. These guys can't move the ball. Jacoby Brissett, maybe, because you have two of the more talented running backs in both Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. You can do that. Najee Harris, of course, on the other side, but no one fears Mitch Trubisky. So this is going to be a low-scoring game, I think, as Cleveland and Pittsburgh both are 1-1, so we'll keep you up on that. That's on Prime TV, and I know a lot of people have issues with trying to watch the game. Like us, we have the Phillies on in here, but we can't at least turn back and forth. Even though we watched it during the commercial break, we can't go back and forth just to see what's going on. We got to follow it on Prime Video on the phone or Prime Video just simply on ESPN.com Gamecast. So that's how it goes. So we'll keep you up on that if you're out and about and can't tap into the football game. Before we get to Rob and Alan, because I know they're basketball guys, J.J. Redick, the Old Man in Three podcast with his partner, Tommy Alter. They do a great job. It's my favorite basketball podcast out there. It really is. This is their first episode of the new season coming back from the summer break. But I was a little disappointed when I listened to the entire thing. And that's been a consensus for the people that I've talked to, the people that I heard today on the radio when talking about this podcast. Do we listen to it the right way? Do we, you know, like I was just talking about one of my best friends who's a therapist. As he said it, are we listening to it the right way or are we just listening to it as fans where we still have this thing with Ben Simmons? So if we don't get the answers that we want, we still same old Ben. Nothing has changed. Or are we well within our right to expect certain answers based on the questions that are asked? Is J.J. Redick, is it his responsibility to get the answers for Philadelphia or is it his responsibility as an interviewer to just interview and ask questions? I felt like he could have followed up on a couple of other questions that he had, but he didn't. But does that mean that he didn't do his job overall? You listen to it, you heard it, you tell me and Tom what you guys feel. Let's go with real fast before we get to Rob and Alan. And again, open phone lines for the first time in a bit, 610-632-0975. This is a shortcut, about 34 seconds, of Ben Simmons speaking about the Hawks series putting him over the top emotionally.
I'm like in a great place and I feel comfortable talking about it now. But those are some dark days for me. And especially everything's public. Like, that's the crazier part. But yeah, it's something that's like everyone goes through different struggles, some bigger than others. But yeah, it's everyone, you know, has their own battles. And I think that was tough for me, just knowing like I didn't really have that support either from teammates or whatever it was at that
time. No, call it like it is. Let's call it like it is. Yeah. And you know that I love Joel and you know that I love Doc. Yeah. But like they essentially threw you under the bus after game seven. Like that's indisputable.
JJ is my guy. Always has. Once I started to like him from leaving Duke and getting into the pros, and especially when he got here to Philadelphia, big JJ guy. Love his podcast. Again, my opinion. That's his opinion that they threw him under the bus. My opinion, they did not. They were talking after the game. He was asked a question, Doc Rivers, about can Ben Simmons lead you to a championship as your point guard? All he said was, I don't know that answer right now. He's not throwing him under the bus. He didn't say yes. He didn't unequivocally say no. He said, I don't know. I don't have an answer for you right now. Fair. Joel Embiid, once again, we ask our players and our coaches to be open and upfront and honest. He said, well, I think one of the key points of the game was when we gave up 2 points where we should have had those 2 points. And we only got one out of it. Right? Is that throwing him under the bus or is that just answering the question and being honest? for what it was. What we all said. What was he supposed to say? I didn't think he threw him under the bus. And since I am a big J.J. Redick podcast fan, I don't remember when he had Joel Embiid on his podcast if he said, Joel, you threw Ben under the bus. I know they talked about it, but I don't remember J.J. Redick saying, because I would say so, that he threw Ben Simmons under the bus. I don't remember him saying that. I really don't. I do not remember him saying that. And as far as Ben goes, where he said that was a dark time for him, if it was, okay. I don't have anything else to follow up on that because he is saying it was a dark time for him. What else am I supposed to say? I wasn't there. While, yes, I'd been around the team, I wasn't there. Remember, this was the bubble time, right after the bubble and all. So access was not the same. I don't know. I really don't. I don't know what he was going through. He said things were more public now. He feels comfortable talking about it. And he said things are out there. Does he mean like the legal issues that his brother and sister were going through? Maybe that, I'm sure that had to be part of it. I can't tell. I would feel bad for him. Anyway, in the moment I felt bad for him, like, heck, that's a shame. His sister's calling his brother out. She's doing it on social media. Now his brother has to deal with this. Now it's in court. That stuff is out there. I can only imagine what he's going through. I don't ignore that. The only thing I said was, you're out there, you got to play. You're out there. If you couldn't play, don't play. Tell him you couldn't play. Remember the stories of, and this is what I heard, just like it was reported. He did say, and try to get out of game seven because of the whole COVID thing with the person that he was around and they potentially had it, which they didn't, and he tried to get out of it. That was a real thing. Also, here's where I will back him, and I did at the time. Remember when he came to practice, when he came back after holding out, and the report was he had a cell phone in his pocket. I was one to destroy Bennett just like everybody else because he quit on his team. But I defended him by saying, folks, stop with the... I was talking to Anthony from Camden at the facility, and we were talking one day, and I said, Ant, I don't think it was a phone in his pocket. That's all I'll say. I don't think it was a phone in his pocket. Then I came back later that night. I was on the air talking about it, and I had the information. He said it in the podcast today. I said it that night because this is what I was told from a source. It was his jersey, not a phone. He rolled it up and put it in his pocket instead of putting it on. So I wasn't always wrong or bad on him. I backed him when it needed to be backed. I felt like I was fair. I don't know what he was dealing with. If that was a mental thing that was really happening for him, okay, I can't say anything about it. Now, as far as the play goes, though, the one that will define him in his Sixer career, and it's a shame because he had a really good career, 3-time All-Star, 2-time All-NBA defender, first team. Should have been, again, me supporting him, should have won the actual Defensive Player of the Year award that final season that he was here. Also, as we mentioned, 3-time, 1-time All-NBA, third team. The guy could play basketball.
Rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year. The guy could play basketball. And I think he still will play basketball at a high level with Brooklyn. Let's go now to Simmons dunking or not dunking and how that is now the defining play of his career, how he's identified and what actually happened.
No, in the moment, I just spun. And I'm assuming Trey's going to come over quicker. So I'm thinking he's going to come full blown. I see Matisse going down. You know, Matisse is athletic and get up. So I'm thinking, okay, quick pass. He's going to flush it, not knowing how much space there was. It happened so quick that you just make a read. And in the playoffs, you need to make the right decisions majority of the time. And for that moment, I mean, it happened. And I was just like, okay, now we got to go make another play. So that's how I'm thinking. And I didn't realize how, you know, everyone's posting. I'm like, is that big? Like,
in fairness to you, and I, again, I'm not giving you an out here because you absolutely should have dunked it. In fairness to you, you don't know it's Trey right when you spin.
No, you're spinning into a jersey.
Yeah.
Essentially. So.
Yeah. So but look, when it slows down, it looks really bad, Ben.
Yeah. No, it looks terrible. I was like, well, when I look at it now, I'm like, man, I should have punched that. But it didn't happen.
I've never played in an NBA game, but I've played where rotations happen and you see somebody and you may double pump it. And one thing that JJ didn't talk to him about was the foul shooting as to some of the issues that he was having, which is maybe why he did pass it to Trae Young, because I mean, pass Trae Young to Matisse Thybulle because of the foul shooting part that was never addressed in the entire conversation. Was that in your head mentally, as we're talking about the mental part of it, was that in your head as to why maybe you didn't when you saw the jersey and not actually the player? You can tell when somebody's 6'1", and you can tell when somebody's 6'10". That same 6'1 guy was there. And yes, he should have flushed it. So not to let Ben off the hook, as JJ said at the end, you kind of are when you say it. Don't say that. Just say, Ben, you should have dunked the basketball. I understand as a player that, yeah, sometimes you can get caught up. You see the jersey and you just initially make an instinctual thing and it happens. You can also tell when somebody's small and when somebody's big. And you can also tell when you're right there versus when you're not. Sometimes you can get lost, right? You can get lost on where you are on the floor, where you are under the basket and all that stuff. You can get lost. That's just human nature of it. I know. I kind of thought that some of that right there, that aspect of it, was a little, like, come on, JJ. Come on. Ben is going to answer how Ben is going to answer. But you as the interviewer, some of that stuff could have been left out. I thought it was a little bit unnecessary in that moment. There are a few other things that we can talk about. 610-632-0975. Just thought two of those right there were important. And you know what? One more before Robin Allen. The Philly people just want to talk about anything in regards to, you know, the fan base and all that stuff. JJ was asking about the fan base and did you think the shooting aspect of it came into the whole deal? And this is where Ben responded with this audio here.
Do you feel like the lack of shooting, the non-shooting, was magnified because you were in Philly?
People in Philly just want to have something to say about anything, man. Like everything, like literally everything. You know, I post a picture of a car or a dog. I got reporters saying you should be in the gym. Like, come on, man.
That is true. Philadelphia fans do want to talk about anything. They have a thought about everything. I agree with that. But I also think they're measured with when they decide to talk about certain things. Not all the time, but I think more times than not, people are measured about how they go about responding to situations that are happening in the moment. I don't know who the reporters are that are telling Ben Simmons when he posts his car or his dog or his swimming pool that he needs to be in the gym. Fans, yes. Media types, I don't know. So I don't know who that is. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. Because I'm like, look, I know you're in the gym. Go be in the gym. Have your fun. I know that. So it wasn't me. I don't know who he's talking about. 610-632-0975. Tom, before we get to Rob, because I want to hear Rob's thoughts. I want to hear Alan's thoughts. Your thoughts.
Well, to that last clip in particular, there's a big difference about Philly fans being complaining about you not being in the gym when you post a picture of your car and Philly fans complaining about something that you haven't improved on, that you've actually regressed on your entire career, and that's shooting the basketball, especially when your team needs you and they really needed a second star that you were, that you got paid to be. There's a big difference between those two things there, Benny.
Can I add on that?
Sure.
That then your trainer posts videos all the time?
Yeah, all the time.
About you shooting and
oh,
stuff?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. And by the way, Philly fans supported him like crazy until we, for the majority
hype,
of Philly.
Hype when those videos come. Oh, right?
Until it got bad and until his last season here, Philly fans, majority of them, at least that I heard, went out of their way to support this guy because they saw the talent that was there. There's a reason he was the number one overall pick. That he was being compared to LeBron James when he first came out of college. So for the most part, until the last year or so, year and a half, whatever it was, Philly fans were very supportive, majority over not being supportive. Yeah, I mean, to me, this was kind of a fluff piece. Listen, I like J.J. Redick. I like him more than people in at this studio.
As do I.
Yeah.
I stand up. I argue with Andrew Sauchunas all the time. Tyrone Johnson. I go back at him, too.
I like JJ.
Guys.
I think he's a smart dude. I think he's doing this podcast thing. He's doing it very well.
Yes, he is.
To me, when I first saw that he was coming on, I thought, this is really weird. How'd JJ get him? And I know he has a relationship and stuff like that, but he has a relationship with a lot of people, and he hasn't spoke at all other than having to speak. So, and that was my first thought is, wow, I can't believe he's speaking. That's crazy. I can't believe he got that. And then I heard it, and I heard some of the clips come out, and I heard the lack of doubling down from J.J. Redick or asking second-up questions, follow-up questions. And my thought process is, yeah, I don't think we were going to get anything we wanted to get here, because I think this was J.J. trying to keep his relationships with players stronger than trying to ask hard questions and be a true interviewer. Mm. That was my thoughts when it came to this, is Clutch Sports was like, yeah, we'll go on your podcast, J.J. That's cool. You're not asking any questions that we don't want you to ask, and you're not following up on questions. You have to stick to a script.
And look, I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there where people have come on or are wanting to come on, and hey, but we can only, can we stay away from this? Can we stay away from this in this particular conversation that you're going
to
have?
And for Ben to not talk other than needing to talk at press conferences or whatever, and for him to just show up all of a sudden on a random Wednesday night and this thing gets released, I think that's what it is. I think that's just JJ doing what's best for J.J. Redick in the time. I mean, he's got a ton of clicks.
He got Ben Simmons when nobody else did.
Correct. And I'm going to give him credit for that. But unfortunately, I don't think we were going to get any real answers from this kind of interview with J.J. Redick. And some of the stuff I heard there just frustrated me so much, man.
Yeah, it was frustrating.
Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid throwing him under the bus. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And I can't stand listening to that.
And Jasper says, as he hears us talking about it, he said, first of all, I don't believe Trae Young is 6'1", more like 5'10", 5'11", at best. I agree with you. And that makes it sound even worse. But Ben Simmons is 6'11", with mad hops, and was right at the rim. Regardless of who it is, his instinct should have been to dunk the ball, not pass it. And as he said, after watching the video many times, he should have punched it. And that's that. 610-632-0975. We can add this to the conversation. It's relevant right now. I don't talk about Ben Simmons anymore, but it is what it is. He's speaking for the first time publicly like this in this type of forum. It does deserve, you know, some part of the conversation if you want it. Let's go to Robin Overbrook here next on 97.5. Robbie.
What's up, D?
What's happening, man? Had to bring you on when we play that, too.
Listen, man, I don't know what I can say about that dude, man. Somebody sent me the podcast this morning. I intentionally did not listen to it because I knew J.J. Redick, I know his style. I know he's into, you know, having the NBA player, so he's not going to ruffle any feathers. I already knew that. And we already knew this Ben Simmons' history, man. He's not going to accept responsibility for nothing. That's his personality. That's number 11's personality. They're one and the same. They will not accept responsibility. So I'm not surprised at anything. All I ever wanted from Ben Simmons when all this stuff happened was for him to just, him or Clutch to issue a statement, hey, I'm going through something right now. It's personal. Give me some time. I'm not going to comment on anything. Don't believe everything you hear. I'll get back with you. That's all. Because we live in a depressive society, depressive city. There's a lot of stuff going on. And Devon, one thing I can tell you, we understand mental health. We understand depression, anxiety, and all that stuff. And we would embrace him just like we embraced Lane Johnson. And I forget the other guy name. The other offensive
line. Brandon Brooks. We mentioned him. While you were on hold. Yep.
Yeah. So that's all. And let's not get confused with mental health and professionalism. Just because you have mental health or you're going through something, it doesn't give you the green light to be unprofessional. You know. So you know you can still be professional about it. And some of his antics, some of the things that he did, it just wasn't right. It didn't sit well with the fan base.
Now, he did say I know you didn't listen to it. I will say he said this in there, to, as we're talking about fairness. He did say, I could have handled things better.
Right. And that's all.
And that's all people wanted in the moment.
That's all we ever wanted in the moment. Like,
he might still be here.
Right. I don't need to know what the diagnosis is. You know what I mean? If you even have one, I don't need to know. I don't want to know. All I want to do is be a fan and watch basketball and get with more of this nonsense. But you put us through this nonsense. Because if you came out and said that you had those issues, this fan base would have been all over Daryl Morey and the Sixers for being on top of him if that was the case. We'd have took his side for the most part. We took his side.
Yeah.
I don't get the guy. You know, but, you know, he's not going to accept no responsibility.
Yeah.
That's who he is.
I'm with you. What you got on the Birds, man? I know you called about the Wentz-Hurts conversation that we were having also.
We absolutely made the right decision, regardless of how it turns out. We made the right decision. Carson Wentz, I'm not going to handle him with kid gloves either. He is one of the worst type of athletes, man. He's not coachable. And he proved it here. He proved it in Indianapolis. He's not coachable. Another guy who don't accept responsibility. When times got tough, he bailed out on us. He didn't want to compete for his job. Howie Roseman, if you know the Eagles' track record, they're always going to draft a quarterback regardless. And if they gave you $30-some million a year, that was your security blanket right there. You was almost untradeable. That was your security blanket right there. So you didn't have to worry about nothing. You didn't have to worry about the man behind you. Why you were like the
man
behind you?
Not at all.
You didn't have to worry about that guy. And when it was time to compete, you bailed out. You quit. You bailed out. You didn't want to compete. So I can't. You're not a leader. He never connected with the guys in the locker room. You know, and he just never connected. Even when he got benched and everything, you know, everybody was kind of like treading water, not really saying they love Carson, but they was all on Jalen's bandwagon. Jalen only played a couple games. Like, he never connected, and he never accepted responsibility. Everything, it appears, everything was given to him, and he, you know, he acted entitled, and it just didn't sit well.
Yep.
So I think they made the right decision. I didn't like Hurts in college. I still have questions about Hurts. I still didn't think Howie should have drafted him, but Howie knew something we didn't know.
Yep, and right now it's looking pretty good. Right now it's looking pretty good. Yeah. You all squared away?
You took him last.
Yeah.
One last thing. Howie, you view players as assets, so you should never get your feelings hurt. And I told you last week that this could be stretches of this season where Jalen Hurts would be MVP candidate. Remember I told you that last
week?
Yes,
you did. Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be that way this season. It's going to be a stretch where they're going to call him the MVP.
Got you. Hey, man, listen, always good to catch up. Thanks for the call, man.
All right, man.
You got it. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Alan, you know you're my guy. Hang tight. Want to talk about the home run ball, Jalen Hurts, all of it. Got John and Jordan. Want to talk about the J.J. Redick, Ben Simmons podcast. Bill in Schwanksville getting to the Birds a bit. We'll update you on the Phillies. And also the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's a score. And then apparently there was a heck of a catch, as I see it, from George Pickens from the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll get into it all as we hang out with you until 10 right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that ball. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Very smooth here tonight. Tom Alvord is just that, 610-632-0975. With you until 10 o'clock. Tomorrow, I'll be back with you at 6 o'clock for the Draftline Show with Jamie Lynch. Brought to you by DraftKings. We'll give our stuff in there, see where we are, see what we can put together for a same-game parlay, and see if we can get things together. Yes, indeed. See, we can get things together for a same-game parlay. The Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, even up 7-7 at this time in the second quarter, 10 minutes to go in the second quarter. So by the time we get home, it'll be close towards the end of the third quarter, and maybe we can catch the start of the fourth.
I usually get home like mid-fourth because I got to stay a little bit later, but yeah. I always catch the end at least, which that's all I can ask for.
Right. So far, touchdowns go to Najee Harris of the Pittsburgh Steelers and Amari Cooper of the Cleveland Browns. And George Pickens had a fantastic catch. One-handed, over the shoulder, falling, stayed in bounds, secured the football before being touched, and they find their way in the end zone. So it's 7-7 right now between the two squads. So we'll see how this one continues to go along throughout the evening and who was able to pull this game out. As far as your Philadelphia Phillies go, they are currently in the bottom of the fifth, and the score is 1-0 Philadelphia. So Ranger Suarez doing his part, the defense holding up. See if they can keep that going. And also right now you have two out, man on second with Alec Bohm up at the plate. Is that right?
Yes, Alec Bohm up now. It's a 2-1 count. Kevin Long, the Phillies hitting coach, got ejected for arguing balls and strikes. No, it was for Matt Beerling.
Oh.
Matt Beerling led this inning off, to my knowledge, had a 3-2 count, and a clear ball that was low and outside was called a strike. Completely changes the outcome of that inning, so Kevin Long gets tossed. Still fighting, though. Man on second. The Rangers doing his job. Offense needs to wake up a little bit.
So that goes along with what we saw. Where Reese Hoskins struck out looking. And as you said, the ball crossed the plate, which caused the ump to call the strike, but it was probably a ball and should have been called as such. But if it wasn't freed on the mound, maybe that does not happen because he's so good. Sometimes you give the pitchers the edge there.
Yeah, and to me, it was a little too close to take if you're Reese Hoskins. He was kind of looking, had his back
on his
shoulder.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a ball. It looked like a ball in this types of scenarios and this type of environment where we got 2-3 weeks left of this season and this is divisional game, divisional series. The players need to be as sharp as possible and the umpires need to be as sharp as possible. Now they're human, I understand it, but you don't like to see mistake after mistake, regardless of what team it is. You always prefer if it's not your team, but you want clean efficiency here from the umpires.
Absolutely. 610-632-0975, especially when you're talking about this team being in a pennant race here. You're already not scoring, so you want to make sure you get things called the right way. Let's go to Alan in Villanova. Has been hanging on for a bit. Checking in with Alan here tonight on 97.5. What's up, Al?
Good evening, Devon. How you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
All right. So I'll start with the Ben Simmons. Yes, I'm a basketball fan, but I'm going to sort of paraphrase Allen Iverson here. We got Phillies playoff contention. We got Eagles Washington on Sunday, and we're talking about Ben Simmons?
No. Yeah. Yeah. You know, unfortunately, as long as he's around in certain vicinities, especially when he does an interview like this and Philadelphia is brought up, he is still part of the story, and that's why you see how late we did it. You see how we brought it up. People can talk about it if they want, but it's not the story of our show, of course.
The interesting thing that I got from that is he claims he's in a good place now.
I hope he is.
I don't know if that means mentally or physically or both, but...
Well, both, because remember he had the back issue, he had a surgery, so... That's also part of it. So healthy, too.
I'm hoping I'm wrong because I don't hate the guy. I mean, he did quit on us and all that, but I wish him well. But I still get the sense that he's never going to play a game for any NBA team, including the Brooklyn Nets.
Wow, but, really?
Yeah. Anyway, on to other things. I agree with most of the callers. Obviously, if we had the Carson Wentz before he got hurt, before he, you know, did what he did, I'd rather have that person. But seeing where they both are now in their respective careers, I'm very happy that we have Hurts instead of Carson Wentz.
Yeah, and I am too. And look, Carson Wentz may go on and still play at a very high level in Washington for many, many years. But for what's happening right now in Philadelphia, this is probably best. I agree with you.
And as far as the side topics, before I get to the home run ball, I hope you don't mind. I was on the other night, but I had to bail out.
Yep.
Did anybody mention From Books to Movies, the one I was going to mention, which would have been The Silence of the Lamb?
No one mentioned that one, no.
Yeah, I mean, got best actors and best actor, but he would have mentioned that. It's also an answer to one of my favorite trivia questions. The Best Actor Award for the shortest screen time ever was Anthony Hopkins for a grand total of 22 minutes.
I was about to say, how much was he really in there? Because he wasn't in there a lot. It was a lot of...
22 minutes.
Yeah,
it was
gotcha.
Really a supporting role. Anyway, well, I'm going to get back to what's the other... the home run ball. You know, I was thinking about that. My first thought was, I'm not a millionaire, but I don't necessarily need a ton of money. I was almost thinking that I would keep the thing and not want anything, and not give it up for anything, and just keep it in my family. But then I would probably give that ball back for an autographed ball, an autographed jersey, and maybe, I don't know, $100K, $200K, I don't know, something like that.
I got you, man. Listen, Al, it's always great to catch up. You got FanFest tickets, man?
I do have FanFest tickets. I appreciate it. So I'll see you down there.
See you then. And, see you then, my friend.
Great show.
You got it, man. Thank you. Really appreciate that. 610-632-0975. Doesn't need the million. You know, just keep the ball. Just keep the ball. All right, fair enough.
You know, either your son, your daughter, the next person you pass that on to,
they will
sell in 2 seconds. Yeah. So it's a good thought, but probably, you know, yeah, it's a lot of money there.
By the way, I just saw the Najee Harris touchdown run tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, he trucked the defender, John Johnson. Trucked him.
Really good running back when he's
Najee
healthy.
Najee Harris, man. Yeah, he's Najee Harris. I had him as a rookie last year in fantasy, and he did well.
It's just,
there
are so many running backs that come out of the league now, or that come out of college into the league now, that I kind of feel bad for them in a sense, because they are so interchangeable.
Sure.
And they're not going to get paid anymore.
No.
Unless you're Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, those types. And look how that's going for the teams.
Even with Saquon.
Sure.
Saquon, the same thing.
But it's just, you see
Jonathan Taylor, did he get his contract yet?
No, I don't believe so.
And they have to. They can't not pay him.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to pay Jonathan Taylor.
Listen, he hasn't had a great season this year. Now I think that's more on Matt Ryan.
His fault. You're right.
But I think even seeing Derrick Henry, he's fallen off a bit this year, at least since he signed that big contract. McCaffrey can't stay healthy.
He's tweaked it again. I think it was his ankle.
These teams, big second contracts for running backs, are already almost a thing of a past. I feel like they're going to be extinct in like 3 years.
Would you pay Miles Sanders any kind of money, long-term extension? 2, 3, 4 years. Would you pay him? And if so, what?
I would look potentially a multi-year deal if he's interested. It would have to be a low AAV. I mean, he makes 1.3 this year, I believe. He's actually not the highest paid running back on the team. It's Boston Scott. He makes 1.3. If you can find some, maybe, what?
3 years, 20.
Three's a little far.
3 years, you give 22 million.
No, I'm out.
That's not even a lot.
It's not.
But that's the nature of what you're talking about.
I was thinking more like 2 years, 10 mil is what I would do.
Would he take that? He might think he can get something more on the open market.
Well, can he, though? It's
I don't
all
think
one-year
so.
Deals anymore, it seems like. Unless you're like Kenyon Drake or something, and he gets traded a year later.
Yeah.
You can find these guys in the draft anymore, and you don't have to use a first-round pick on them. So the human in me feels bad for these running backs that are going out there every single day, working for this their whole lives, and then they're not getting a second contract. When
the game has changed.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
All through the air now.
Yep.
All through the air. 610-632-0975. We go back to the phones in Hatfield. We travel to with John tonight on 97.5. Johnny.
Hey, Devon. What's going on?
What's happening, man?
Hey, I want to come at you a little different angle with this J.J. Redick thing.
Okay.
Was his podcast sponsored by Charmin toilet paper? Because it's pillowy soft journalism is what he's doing there. And isn't this the guy who's supposed to lead the way for the new media, you know, the newer players and the players? And that's the questions you're asking him?
Yeah, I thought they could have been done a little bit differently, yeah.
I mean, if Stephen A. Smith, and I'm not a Stephen A. Smith guy, it gets put over the coals for, oh, you haven't been there, where you don't have room to talk. You guys have all the right to say there's something to J.J. Redick about that 10-ply interview right there.
Yeah.
that's all I got.
I said the same, man. I said when we started it off, I'm a big fan of J.J. Redick's podcast. As you know, I was a big Ben Simmons guy. That one, I thought he left him off the hook on some of the things. Now, Ben was open with some other things, but I thought as follow-ups go, it could have been handled much better.
I was driving home, and I heard you say, you know, just even ask him about the free throws. Just ask him about it.
Yeah, because, you brought up the shooting. Okay, so if you bring up the Trae Young thing, when you bring it up, it's like, you know, how much of that was also the fact that you weren't shooting your free throws at a very high level and that was in your head?
Yeah, I lost.
You know, simple. Respect. That's a simple one, I think.
I lost respect for J.J. Redick as a broadcaster / journalist. That's you got to come better than that. You got to come better than that.
I agree.
You guys have a good night.
You
guys.
Too, John. Thanks so much, man.
Yep.
All right. Take care. And that's where a lot of people are going to go with this whole conversation. And I will try to get my brother on, and you know, again, one of my best friends, and see when he has some time to just kind of talk about it, not just in Simmons's case, when we speak about Wentz, and in general, when we talk about the mental side of it, do we look at things the right way? Do we? I think some, again, as I said, Tom, some may go a little overboard. For the most part, I believe that there are measured takes when it comes to things like this.
Yeah,
with the fans.
You're always going to have the outliers, the ones that are just being dumb just to be dumb, that are not thinking the whole thing through and not looking at it from every perspective, whatever it may be. That's always going to happen no matter what city, no matter where you're at, no matter what group you're in. But I think for a vast majority, we're on side when it comes with the mental health in sports now. I think we are, not only in Philadelphia, but as a society. We see all these guys. Kevin Love, I believe DeMar DeRozan was another one. John Wall just had a piece come out that I'm going to read later. I just saw it when it comes to the mental health. Here in the city, Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks. Like, if you're honest with us, we will be behind you in this city, and I think in around nationally as well in the sports world when it comes to mental health and needing to work on your mental health. But the way that things transpired with Simmons, the shadiness behind some of it, the lack of information behind some of it, not just to the fans, but to the team and to the team doctors, that's why people had the reaction we did. And it doesn't help that he wasn't saying absolutely anything to anyone about this situation until the very last second when he was losing money.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, a lot of that stuff, you know, just they did address that in the podcast also, about why he decided to, when he decided to come. Remember, and Jordan and Luke want to talk about this too. Remember when there was the whole thing of the team flying out there pre-training camp, the players, Embiid, Harris, Dybul, Green.
California, right?
California, yes. To go catch up with them. And he was like, that was BS. He was like, all these guys were, you know, a lot of guys were in L.A. Now you guys want to come and check me out? But based on reports, if we remember, there were a lot of people, a lot of reporting out there that said those guys reached out. He just wouldn't answer. Again, not a follow-up in the conversation with JJ. If that's how you felt, well, Ben, you said that you still are in contact with a lot of your friends. Was it true when there's been reports that they did try to reach out prior to that flight to come see you and try to bring you back to Philadelphia for training camp? Again, that's just a natural follow-up. If you are in tune with the entire situation like we were, because of course it's here.
And if you're allowed to have follow-ups per request of Rich Paul also.
610-632-0975. You're a Ted Lasso guy, right?
Nah, I've never seen it.
Never seen it?
Nah, I'm going to, though. Everyone keeps bugging me. Anthony yelled at me today when we were, I was doing parks for him, Cousins Corner.
They're going to be Ted Lasso's in FIFA 23.
I saw that.
23.
That's awesome. How big they are.
That's awesome. It's only been two seasons.
Yes. They're on their third, right?
I think this one is going to be the third.
And it's their last one, I believe, right?
Right.
But still,
and
regardless.
And you make the video game?
This isn't a seven-season Breaking Bad, Sopranos type show, and I'm sure it's just as good. But
it's a dope show.
That's all I've heard about it, so I am going to watch it.
And it's
soon.
Not too long, the episodes are
which
not
is
too
perfect
long.
For me, because right, I'm right. Not the long TV show.
Right, yeah.
Two-hour episodes, 24 episodes a season, 9 seasons. Now I'm out on that. But
yeah.
I will check that out. I will.
Yeah, so I think it's this will be the third season. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It started in 2020. They're in a video game already, and it's not even a real soccer team.
No. That's how good. That's how big it is.
That's how big it is. Jordan and Willingboro next on 97.5. What's happening, Jordan?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on with you fellas tonight? I just want to say, Ben Simmons is a diva. You're a diva.
Is this the audio that we played? Was that the first time you heard it?
Yes. But it just the whole situation, how he handled, like you said, the shadiness. Like, people here just like honesty. Even when AI was here, he was cocky with it, but he was honest. These guys was honest. Jimmy Butler, if we could have had a different situation with Jimmy Butler, I take any Jim, Jimmy Butler, Jim Jones, Jimmy the Cricket, Jimmy Johns, any Jimmy over him, because like we could have had something way more than what we got out of him. And it's like He got the 6'11". He looking like Magic passing ball a little bit. LeBron with the rim attack.
Fantastic passer to me.
People was comparing him all types of crazy. He could have really been something really great. And now I think about Markelle Fultz all the time when he was here. It's like, okay, we really didn't understand it at first. People started telling us his jump shot off. Okay, he's being a little open with it. Okay, we kind of understand. So people not really about Markelle Fultz. But with this guy, you're playing in a blue collar city, man. These people work hard for their money. You're making millions sitting on the bench, and you think it's,
actually, after I looked at the clip, you know, I could have went up with a dunk. I actually could have went up with one. Dude, like, you're not taking no accountability. Like the caller said a couple callers ago, all we want is accountability. People understand. It's a lot of crazy things going on in our society right now. People understand mental health, but you got to be open about those things. When your team come and visit you, why you play it off like that?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you just dusting everything off like you're not the main problem going on right now? Why we had to rebuild a team miniaturely two more times to really get back where we was before? Because something that you didn't want to do, you're guarding a 5'10", 5'11", dude, you're not going to play no defense?
Yeah. Yeah, and look, by the way, he did play well in Game 7 against that guy, but it was more of...
But look what it took, though.
Yeah, I know, and it wasn't just that one play, because when they focused on it, you know, talking about as we play the audio, Simmons not dunking there, it wasn't just that one play, as we all know.
Right.
It wasn't just that one play. It was a culmination of things that led up to where, you know, that was like, that's it. Okay, that's it. I remember in the Washington series, Jordan, where I had a show, and I was like, let me ask this question to everybody. Remember where I was like, he had 5 points, spooky. 15 rebounds, 15 assists, and I was like, hey, should we back off him when they win and he plays like that and shuts down the best player on the other team?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's not like we only point out those things. We point out a lot of different things with him when we were on his side. And he said he had some good relationships here. He enjoyed playing in Philadelphia, all of that. Whether it's true or not, he said it. So you got to take it for what
right.
it is.
Right. I'll take his word for it.
Yeah.
Another,
right.
Another thing about the Eagles, though. I know a lot of people are like, you know, Carson Wentz, you know, and Jalen Hurts. I'm not really. I got to see more. But look. I grew up in the PS2 era. It looked like I'm playing NFL Street when I see them boys playing on TV. You know, where how he got all these different targets. People think, oh yeah, he's gonna throw to AJ Brown so many times. And like, dude, no, he got weapons. He could throw. He might be a little short on the arm, but he could throw a ball, and it's getting there. You know, we gotta just keep supporting him how we were supporting Ben Simmons all this time. Oh, give him some time. Give him some time. Give him some time. We gave Ben Simmons so much time, man. He could have bought time. We didn't give it, but you know what I mean? But Jalen Hurts putting in some work, and we you know, we always question it. But let's, same way you said, take Ben Simmons' word for it. Let's take Jalen Hurts' actions for it. Came in, and he putting the team together. He's just sitting, you know, guys, let's sit after for some more workouts together. Let me get some more workouts with the team. At a rookie, he's asking guys to, you know, come train after. And he's a rookie, and he's being a leader already.
Yeah.
You know, he's in the second, you know what I mean? But he's a leader already, and we can see that. You know, it's not like we're giving him the benefit of the doubt how we was giving Ben Simmons the benefit of the doubt. No, Ben Simmons was a fake. He was fake with it. He was a leader with the ball, but he was, like, fake with it.
That doesn't seem like that was his personality to be
right.
that type of leader. Right. He's the one that leads by example.
You know? But when we have a leader right in front of us, we got to give it let's take it for what it is. He out there throwing it.
Hey, man,
let's take it for what it is.
Did you want to hang out with us at FanFest, Jordan?
Yes, please.
Oh, my man, playing on. Make sure you catch up with us at FanFest. Find me so we can catch up face-to-face, man. Thank you. Hang on. And we do have some breaking news there, Tom. A little bit. All right, if you haven't heard about the story with the Boston Celtics and their head coach, Ime Udoka, I don't have many opinions on this. I don't know what's going on like with them, so I kind of stay out of that. That's their business and all that stuff. But based on the information that is put out there with the situation with Ime Udoka and the issues that he and the Boston Celtics are having for, how did they term it? I want to make sure we use the right terminology here that Adrian Wojnarowski put out there when he broke the story last night, where he called it, disciplinary action for violation of organizational guidelines. And that is, as it has since come out, it seems that he is being suspended for a role in a consensual relationship with a female staff member. And now we have the update. According to Shams, the Boston Celtics have suspended Ime Udoka for the entire 22-23 campaign. I don't know what happened with this relationship, but it seems like a whole year is a lot. Seems like that's a lot. Again, and by the way, assistant Joe Mazzulla will be the interim head coach for the entire year. Seems like that's a lot. I mean, we've heard about a lot of stuff that goes on in the NBA. Robert Sarver, who is about to sell the team for the Phoenix Suns, before the talked about sale by the owner, the board of governor, of course, of the Phoenix Suns, he was suspended for a year. So does what he has done for a span of years as a owner of the NBA franchise equal the same amount of suspension that whatever happened here with Ime Udoka gets a full season? I just think a year is a lot. Again, I don't know much, but my opinion is that a year seems to be a lot for whatever happened. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, so on this whole situation's so weird, first of all.
It's very weird.
It's so odd what's going on. And if it's all that it's been reported, if that's what happened.
That's it.
Because, you know, more stuff may leak out later or might not leak out later. But if this is it, this is really weird. I saw a tweet
for a whole year, right?
Whole year.
That's a bit excessive.
This is from Keef21 on Twitter. The league suspended Gilbert Arenas 50 games for bringing a gun into the locker room.
Where he could have killed people.
Correct. And Latrell Sprewell, 68 games.
For choking his head coach.
But he gets a year for, if what's all it is having relationships consensually with the person that worked for the team.
Here's what you're also not allowed to do, Tom.
What's that?
You're not allowed to date, I think, like the dance team, players and all. You're not supposed to be able to do that. I believe Eric Spoelstra's wife is a former dancer.
She is. She,
for the Miami Heat.
She answered her on like an Instagram story a while ago. That's how they met.
Now, I don't know if they started dating when she was still a part of the dance team and all that stuff. And look, I get the Nia Long jokes too. I'm a guy who grew up in the 90s. I know Nia Long just like you do. Everybody will bring up the Nia Long from Friday, bring up the Nia Long from Love Jones, and Nia Long from any of the other stuff. You know when I thought Nia Long was probably at her best? Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Nia Long. Look it up. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Nia Long was top notch. And she still is. Still is. Beautiful. All I'm saying is a year seems to be a lot. That's all. That's my extent of my thoughts on this whole thing. Because as you said, there could be so much more. I don't know. They framed it the way they framed it. We don't know anything. But a year seems to be a lot, even though they know everything. That seems to be a bit much. All right, Luke, Tyler, and everybody else, we'll get to you when we get back. Final segment. We'll get your thoughts on everything. Tom Alvord has the leftovers at 9:45. This is a Thursday night. Phillies, still, as it stands right now, 1-0 in the sixth. And in the NFL, the Browns and the Steelers, uh-oh, I might have been wrong, is 14-13. I guess they have some stuff going on up there in Cleveland. We'll get to everything when we get back right here, 97.5, the Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All All right, 9:36, final segment, 97.5. The Fanatic, Devon Givens with you. Tom Alvord producing, and we'll have the leftovers in about 10 minutes here on 97.5. The Fanatic. We'll get to the calls here, give everybody their time. But let me give you the statement released by the Boston Celtics about 10 minutes ago, where Boston Celtics press release here says the Celtics announced today that the team has suspended head coach Ime Udoka for the 22-23 season for violations of team policies. A decision about his future with the Celtics beyond this season will be made at a later date. The suspension takes effect immediately. Tom, to me, this means that the investigation or whatever it is still ongoing. They're probably looking to gather more information, even though they have enough information to make this decision, which, again, we both agree a year seems to be a bit much. But is that because there may be something else to it? But if that's the case, why not outright fire him?
Yeah, man, this, you're kind of right where it's like you don't want to assume too much and you don't want to say too much here because you don't know what's really going on. But then how does this get leaked this quick? Like, is this something from a month ago that's just now getting leaked? Did the Celtics reach out to the team and to the people involved to this? Did Nia Long found out she got cheated on by Adrian Wojnarowski? Like,
it's not great.
No, it's not ideal. That's definitely not
great in general, but you don't want to hear from Woj where he's blasting it to everybody else with his millions of followers.
You get a Twitter update, a tweet comes in, and it finds out that, yeah, this whole thing is so weird. And for them to, there's no way, even if it's against company guidelines, to not have an affair with another person in the team, within the team, there's no way it's written, you are suspended one whole year if you do this. No, like, there's no chance that's been written, or if it was a rule that's written 60 years ago, change it. It's not that big of a deal if the stuff that's happened is all that's happened, and it's your coach that just led you to the NBA Finals, who's one of the up-and-coming coaches
in
this league.
You suspend him a certain amount of games, and
Nope, he's suspended for the year. We're still doing an investigation, but he's out for the year.
Because, again, at a later date, they will update on his future.
This seems to me that they want him out, the Celtics. This is just an assumption. They want him out, and they're just using this as an excuse. That's what it seems like to me. It seems fishy.
Ime Udoka has his own statement.
Good.
I want to apologize to our players, fans, the entire Celtics organization, and my family for letting them down. I am sorry for putting the team in this difficult situation, and I accept the team's decision. Out of respect for everyone involved, I will have no further comment. That's Ime Udoka. We read the Boston Celtics. That's where things are. How does this affect the team now, where you have this interim coach? I had the Celtics at the top of the East. I will keep the Celtics at the top of the East. Can't tell me this is not nothing, though.
No, it should absolutely
affect something. Them. It's something.
This is a team with now championship aspirations. Not just getting there is not enough.
Correct.
You just, like I mentioned, you just got to the finals with this guy. You bring in Malcolm Brogdon. There was rumors about Kevin Durant. Gallinari didn't work out because he gets hurt. But you are going all in with this team, and you just fire your coach, what, a week before?
Chris Mannix, yeah. SI. In conversations with the team, you know he's Boston-based. There were no guarantees made to Udoka that he would be brought back after the suspension, a source told SI. He's not coming back.
No, he's not. I don't blame him.
He's not coming back. One way or another, he's not coming back.
Hey, you can come to Sixers if you want.
Doc would probably.
Whether you like it or not,
Doc. Sorry, buddy.
Wait a minute. On the staff or. You're going to take over. The takeover.
No, the takeover. And you know what he's going to say to Doc?
You don't know basketball.
That's what he's going to say.
Let's go to Luke in Philly here next on 97.5. Luke, this is a crazy story, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what's funny about the situation was my wife was actually telling me about it earlier, but we didn't really get to dive in, and she was saying that she actually said that the coach got fired, so I'm assuming that might be something that's probably going to happen. But I'm from Philly, so I'm like, hey, if that becomes a distraction during the team, hopefully it's a little sway towards, you know, their gameplay during the season and gives the Sixers a better advantage. Not that I wish any ill will on whatever is going on.
No, and in the family situations, of course, yeah, you don't want to, yeah.
So I was getting on. I didn't really quite listen to the podcast about Ben Simmons. I'm gonna be one of those people where I tell you, like, to the very end, I was fighting with my brother and fans and buddies of mine about, you know, sticking up for him, that he's gonna be great, he's gonna be this. And, you know, in the end, I realized, and I got a lot of people close to me who deal with mental health issues, but I feel like his approach on everything that he did was just completely wrong and completely unprofessional. He got paid the money to play, and a lot of people keep going to the part of him not turning around Duncan, but what people don't also realize is that in that series, we needed him, and one of those games, he had a donut.
How about this?
Score.
How about this? Four quarters, four games, fourth quarters, no points.
You know, and that, it wasn't just that. It was his entire gameplay. It was like, during the season, he's on fire. But when we need him, honestly, we should have won at least one championship with him already, and we haven't. And so it's just like, you know, he's going to always leave a bad taste. You know, I appreciate that he says he loves Philly, but I just feel like it's a bad taste, and I I'm glad that we moved on, and I'm actually glad because I love Maxey, and I feel like that opportunity of him stepping in to give his gameplay of where he was at last year to where he could be this year might even just give us the opportunity to actually see that championship come along.
I hear
you. And so I'm happy with that.
Hey, man,
and,
what do you have on the Wentz Hurts part?
So I'm not biased a little bit, but I'm going to say, like, I think a caller said it earlier today. I was listening. You know, without Wentz doing what he did during the season, the championship would have never really happened. I did feel like, you know, he was overstepping certain things with the locker room, and I felt like they was being separated. And I think it was actually kind of already happening even before, you know, the injury, but because he was on fire, everybody was just dealing with it. And then after the injury and then Nick Foles stepping in and doing what he did, it kind of just allowed people to just break that ice and be like, yeah, he was already like this, but we were kind of winning, so I'm going to just let it be what it is.
Yep. Winning can cover a lot of things.
Yeah. So, you know, I felt like he did great, and we appreciate him being a part of the reason why we got our first chip. I think mentally, you know, Jalen Hurts coming in, like you guys were talking about earlier, he got his contract. He shouldn't have let that affect him, but it did. And, you know, that's the reason why, you know, he had to go, and then he didn't last over there in Colts. You know, I don't wish no ill will.
No.
I love Jalen Hurts. I think his gameplay will continue to produce and get better now that he's got a great team around him. And I hope that we are continuing to be successful. And before you let me go, I have I was saying it to your guy earlier. A couple weeks ago, maybe a week or two ago, you were talking about drinking out of the juice box. that was like, as an adult, that's one of your things. I forget what it was, what brand.
Yeah, it's Capri Sun. Yeah.
Capri Sun. So I was telling him that when I was younger, I used to take the Capri Sun and I used to make sure all the juice was all the way to the bottom, and I would put it in a freezer and freeze it and then turn around and cut the bottom and eat it like a popsicle, and it used to be amazing.
Ah, look at that. Okay. That was very creative, no doubt about it. Hey, Luke, you want to hang out with us at FanFest?
Come on, man. You know for a fact I do.
Make sure you find me in town, man. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Hang on. Hang on. You got it. No problem. Let's go to Tyler in South Jersey on 97.5. What's up, Ty?
What's up, Devon? How's it going?
Going well, man. Thank you.
Hey, so I just want to talk about how special Maxey and Hurts are and how alike kind of their situation is. And, like, Jalen has, you know, he looks like he's going to make the Maxey-style jump where it's like, oh, this is different than, you know, the previous season.
Yes.
And I think that's, like, super special. And we're in, like, a real special year, I guess, for Philly sports, which is very exciting, to say the least.
Yeah, no question about it, man. Really is. And I think he is going to take that next step. How high that is, I don't know, but there will be a step taken.
Well, and the cool part is, I mean, it's however far they want to go, you know, because they have the work ethic, you know, they're good people and the city loves them. So it's really however far they want to go,
yep.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Super absolutely. Interesting. And I think with the Celtics thing, there's got to be some more meat to that, because if it was like, I think also if he didn't take them to the finals, he would have just been straight up fired, you know.
That's a good point.
I think I saw some tweets out there. I think Richard Jefferson was one of them, where he was like, wait till you guys find out the full story, with some, you know, laughing emoji. So I don't know.
See, and that's the dirty part of it. You know what I mean? Because this is their, whoever it is between him and whoever, it's their business. And now we're all in it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It should have never, it should have never came out of Woj, I feel like. It should have came from the Celtics first, but, you know.
I agree.
The day we live in, you know.
I agree. Yep. Hey, Ty, you want tickets?
Unfortunately, I have plans that weekend. I'm sorry.
Got you. No problem, man. Well, listen, have a good one, man. Thanks for checking in with us. We'll catch up another time. And Ben, we're going to get to the leftovers in just a second, but you had something on Emi Udoka. We want to get your thoughts, Ben in Chestnut Hill. What's up, Ben?
Yo, how's it going?
Good, man. How about you? What do you think of this whole Boston situation? It's weird, huh?
You know, I'm a white dude, but for me, it brings up, I think there's got to be a racial component to me. And let me explain what I mean very briefly, because I know when people say that, people kind of tense up a little bit. But, you know, I don't think black coaches, whether it's the NBA, whether it's the NFL, they don't get the same leeway that other coaches do. So we're talking about a consensual act between two people. It's not 1965 anymore. Not everybody has the same Judeo-Christian values of, you know, not doing this or not doing that. And we live in a world where Calvin Ridley was suspended for a year for gambling, and Deshaun Watson gets, you know, X amount of
11 games.
Assault.
11 games.
Right. So explain that to me. So it's either we have a moral compass that is completely discombobulated, or there's a racial component, or there's both. And I think it's both. It doesn't make any sense. If this was anybody else, this was, you know, name any coach in the NBA that's, you know, not a person of color, we're not having the same conversation. So, of course, they're going to use that to get rid of this guy.
It's very odd. Very odd. Very odd, man. Well, listen,
it's frustrating.
Thanks for the call. And by the way, Joe Mazzulla is, he's from Rhode Island, the new coach. And we'll see what he does for them. But listen, man, thanks for listening. Thanks for checking in. Really appreciate it. And have a good one, Ben. It's time for some leftovers. We got about 4 minutes. Squeeze these leftovers in here. What we got here, my man?
Accelerated version of the leftovers. We're going to start with the Flyers. Had a lot going on today, so we didn't get to mention this. Ryan Ellis, the Flyers D-man, is out indefinitely, according to GM Chuck Fletcher. The assumption is he won't play again this season due to a torn muscle down from his lower spine to his hip. If he does play, it'll be a bonus. It could be career-ending, potentially, which is just terrible. Traded. There was a big trade that in July of 2021 for Phil Myers and Nolan Patrick. Nolan Patrick also is missing this entire season, according to reports. Played 4 games for the team last year. Last played on November 13, 2021. Has nearly 5 years and $30 million left. This is one of like the most underwhelming trades in Philly history. Now listen, they didn't have to give up a ton because it was Nolan Patrick and Phil Myers aren't much, but pretty underwhelming when we thought Ryan Ellis was going to come in here and change the core of that the defense for the Flyers.
Yeah, and guess what, man? Just things continue to get worse and worse for the Flyers before the start of the season.
Oh, my God. They can't win.
Zorier,
Joel Farabee, Bobby Brink dealing with stuff. So it's just terrible. That season looks like it's going to be an absolute dumpster fire.
Yeah.
The NCAA has placed LSU's football program on 1 year of probation and issued a 3-year show cause against former assistant coach who was meeting with a prospect and giving him team gear during the COVID dead period. The Tigers said they fired O-line coach James Craig for the cause in 2021. On August 25th, the Louisiana judge, however, awarded Craig nearly $500,000 after ruling LSU terminated his contract without cause. This whole thing's a mess, but it comes down to, like, should that really be a rule? And should you get 1 year probation?
1 year probation.
Because he gave team gear to a recruit during COVID time?
It should not, because when those recruits come into town, they take photos in their team gear stuff.
Yes.
And I'm sure they take some of that home.
They absolutely do.
Okay.
And I don't care if it's COVID. And listen, it was a different time back then, but I don't know. This is just the NCAA just being a terribly, terribly run organization at times, and it's pretty ridiculous. Last one here. A Florida highway was temporarily closed down on Wednesday after a semi-truck carrying Coors Light cases crashed and spilled beer all over the road. It was at Interstate 75, 30 miles north of Tampa, around 6 a.m., a little early, but, you know, it is what it is. No one was seriously hurt in the chaotic trash, and the person in the pickup truck only had minor injuries. That happened. To me, I'm a Miller Lite guy. I know you don't drink.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, I'm a Miller Lite guy. But listen,
if but what I if got, that happened and you rode by there? Are you collecting any beers that you can?
Oh my god! You can. I'll be like, hey, I just was
got
helping.
A new fan.
I was helping cleaning and clean up. I didn't want this stuff all over the road. I didn't want it to be danger. Beggars can't be choosers at that. But yeah, because you imagine the Coors Light truck, the beer truck causes a huge collision.
Haven't we seen so many things where there have been spills or you know the. And they'd be like, oh, I wish I was there, right?
Like not just the Brink trucks, the Brink like the truck money
where
trucks.
The money's just going on. And that's tough now because there are cameras all up and down the highway. They would probably come looking for you. You've got serial numbers and stuff all on the
way.
Yeah,
it's probably true.
But in the moment, I didn't know I had to give it back.
No, I was like I said, I'm just trying to clean up these, streets, man. That's what it's about.
Clean up the streets, put the money in my pocket.
So those are the accelerated version of tonight's leftovers.
I just sent you the video on your DM of the video about... all three of the names that have been mentioned, you know, recently. By the way, the 6 o'clock hour.
Twitter is extremely funny.
The 6 o'clock hour was brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 17 in Rawlinson, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey, Diamond Destination. All the callers, listeners, tweeters, as always, thank you. Really appreciate it. I'll be back with you tomorrow, 6 o'clock, for the Draft Line Show alongside Jamie Lynch. Tom Alvord, as always, great to be with you, man. Always fun. And we'll catch up next week, of course. I will talk to everybody tomorrow. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.